Yes, checking. Okay. We're ready to go. I'd like to call the meeting to order. The clerk call the roll, please.
Here.
Excuse me. We're going to... Welcome. We'll start all over. Several of my colleagues and friends here are all here. They just announced their own roll call. So welcome, everybody, and at this time, we'll call the meeting to order, and would you please, the clerk, call the roll.
Commissioner Shajian.
Here.
Commissioner Blank. Commissioner Burke. Here. Commissioner Lowenthal. Commissioner Gonzalez. Commissioner Secord. Commissioner Neely.
Here.
Commissioner Potter. Commissioner Schellenberger. Commissioner Wan.
Here.
Chairman Kruer.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you very much. With that, I'll go to Deputy Director Saab. You could announce the procedures for today's meeting.
Good morning, Commissioners, members of the public. If this is your first Coastal Commission meeting and you haven't, and you wish to address the Commission today, please fill out a speaker slip. They can be found outside at the table. Bring it to the staff table here. Put the name and item number, your name and item number on the speaker slip, and we'll pass it up to the chair so that you can be recognized prior to your item being heard. I'd also like to announce to the commissioner and public that Executive Director Douglas will not be at the meeting today. He did have to leave for an emergency. So the staff that's here is me as deputy director, and Chris Peterson is the chief legal counsel.
Yeah. Please keep us, the commission, informed and hope everything works out fine, and let us know how Director Douglas is doing.
We'll do that.
Okay. With that...
Today's agenda changes?
Yes.
On page 9 of the agenda, there are no changes. On page 10 of the agenda, item 8A, the City of San Diego LCP Amendment Creekside Vias. The city has requested a postponement, and that needs to be granted by the commission. We can deal with that at the time it comes up on the agenda. Item 9A, the Stalmer and Albin appeal is postponed. On page 11 of the agenda, there are no changes. On page 12, item 11B, the San Diego amendment, San Diego River Park JPA and Southern California Edison are the applicants. That is a move to consent. Item 15A, the Smith appeal is postponed. On page 13 of the agenda, item 16A, 506-268 is withdrawn. And item 16B, 506-456 Clark is postponed. Moving on to item 3. This is the administrative calendar for the San Diego District. There is only one item on the administrative calendar. The conditions are acceptable to the applicant, and we are not aware of any opposition. We recommend the commission concur with the executive director's determination and approve this item on the administrative calendar.
Is there any objection to finding concurrence with the executive director's determination? Hearing none, the commission concurs. Consent calendar.
Yes, item 4 is the consent calendar for the San Diego District. There are 3 items. These were the items originally scheduled on the consent calendar. Again, we are not aware of any opposition, and the conditions are acceptable to the applicant. We recommend that the commission approve the consent calendar.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Kajian, seconded by Vice Chair Neely. And they're asking for a yes vote. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on the consent calendar? Hearing none, it's unanimously approved.
And item 5 is the consent calendar for the South Coast District, Orange County. There's only one item on this calendar. Again, we are not aware of any opposition. The conditions are acceptable to the applicant. We recommend the commission approve the consent calendar for the South Coast District.
Motion.
Move approval.
Moved by Commissioner Kajian, seconded by Commissioner Schellenberger. And they're asking for a yes vote. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this consent calendar item? Hearing none, it's unanimously approved.
Item number six is the Deputy Director's report for the San Diego District. This includes two de minimis waivers, one non-material amendment, and a non-material extension. These projects are the type that are routinely approved by the Commission. We've not received any comments on the amendment or extension to date, and therefore the staff recommends that the Commission concur with the Executive Director's determination and approve the Deputy Director's report for San Diego.
Is there any objection to finding concurrence with the Executive Director's determination? Hearing none, the Commission concurs.
Item number 6A is a minor LCP amendment, number 1-07A, for the City of Encinitas. This amendment proposes to include in the City's Inclusionary Housing Ordinance a provision that would allow a property owner to seek a waiver, adjustment, or reduction to any inclusionary housing requirement imposed by the City. This is being added in response to a court decision that found the ordinance must include a potential relief clause to allow an applicant to demonstrate if there isn't a reasonable relationship between the development and the inclusionary housing requirement. Staff feels this is a minor change. It's typical for ordinances to have these kinds of options, and the burden is placed on the applicant to show that there is no nexus for the inclusionary housing requirement. The change doesn't modify the kind, location, density, or intensity of use, and it's consistent with the certified land use plan. Therefore, we're recommending that the Commission approve this LCP amendment as a minor LCP amendment.
Thank you. We have one speaker slip, and Mr. Patrick Murphy from the City of Encinitas, you're just here for questions? Thank you, sir. Is there any objection to finding concurrence with the Executive Director's determination? Hearing none, the Commission concurs.
Next item, 6B, is also a minor LCP amendment, 1-07B, for the City of Encinitas. This amendment proposes to allow an increase in the height limit within the public, semi-public zone for specific high school buildings, and the height limit would raise from 30 feet to 34 and 40 feet, depending on the type of building. There's only one high school campus in the City of Encinitas that the proposed ordinance change could apply to, and that's the San Diego Academy, which is located about a quarter mile east of Interstate 5. We did receive a fax at the hotel objecting to the height limit, but staff has looked at this site and the potential for any public view blockage across this site. They would be distant views of the horizon that may be affected by a particular structure. However, on either side of that structure, the horizon views would be maintained. So we did not feel that this was a public view blockage issue. There are no significant views from major public resource points or scenic roadways. Therefore, staff believes that there is no potential for adverse effect on coastal resources. And again, there's no change in the location or intensity of use associated with this proposed revision. Therefore, we recommend that the Commission concur with the Executive Director's determination and approve this item as a minor LCP amendment.
Thank you. I have a speaker slip from, again, Patrick Murphy, the City of Encinitas. You're probably here just for questions on this one also, sir. Thank you very much. Is there any objection to finding concurrence with the Executive Director's determination on this matter? Hearing none, the Commission concurs.
Item 7 is the one item that was removed from the regular calendar to the consent calendar for the San Diego District. It's item 11B on the pink addendum to the agenda, item 60488A2. And the amendment is proposed by the San Diego River Park JPA and Southern California Edison for an additional restoration component within the San Diego Wetland Restoration Project. We haven't received any letters of opposition on this amendment, and the conditions are acceptable to the applicant. Therefore, we recommend that the Commission approve this item on the consent calendar.
Commissioner Gonzalez, a motion? I'm sorry. Yeah, I thought you were ready for the San Diego item. Just a motion. This is a consent calendar item. Just a motion for the...
Move approval.
I move approval.
Okay.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Gonzalez and seconded by Commissioner Schallenberger. And they're asking for a yes vote. Is there any objection to unanimous approval of this item? Hearing none, it's unanimously approved.
Yes, and item 8A is the City of San Diego LCP Amendment Number 2-06B, Creekside Villas. This LCP amendment would modify the land use and zoning designation for a 12-acre property in Carmel Valley to accommodate a residential development of the site. The city has requested a postponement of the commission action to an unspecified future agenda, and this postponement must be granted by the commission. Staff is not opposed to this extension of time. The commission did just approve up to 1 year extension of time on the June agenda, but we have indicated to the city that if they prefer a Southern California location, it may have to be after the October meeting. However, there hasn't been significant local interest in this LCP amendment, so it's possible an August or September meeting may be acceptable. So does the commission grant the postponement?
We have a speaker slip first, and I think we should take here, open the public hearing, and then I will go to the commission on the postponement on this item. 8A, Mr. Massara. How much time, sir?
Just a minute and a half.
Okay.
Turn your mic on.
Honorable Chair, Commissioners, Mark Massara, Sierra Club Coastal Program. We don't have any objection to this item being postponed, but I think what would be really helpful is if the city could provide you with more background and information as to the success or what is the apparent dismal failure of this entire multi-species habitat conservation program, which is the basis and foundation for this request to convert open space to housing. Because at least part of this program has already been thrown out by the federal courts. It's not clear to me that the commission has ever ratified this whole species conservation program, and yet here we are developing open space and assuring development goes forward with no surprises, while we have no assurances at all that any of the promises and assumptions made with respect to these habitat conservation programs are being fulfilled. So if we could get some sort of monitoring before we convert more open space to housing, I think that would, and a report, an analysis of whether this program has any success at all, that would help you, because we're over 10 years into this thing at this point. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Massara. I'll come back to, do you like to say something, Deputy Director, sorry, about a comment on Mr. Massara?
Yes, just that the commission or the city did indicate they wanted to meet with staff before this came back to the commission, so we can certainly add that to our discussion.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and pleasure of my colleagues, Vice Chair Neely.
Mr. Chairman, I would move postponement of this item.
Second.
It's been moved by Vice Chair Neely and seconded by Commissioner Kinsey. Oh, Commissioner Akashian. I'm sorry.
No.
And they're asking for a yes vote. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, it's unanimously approved, the postponement. Okay.
And could I get the PowerPoint on the next item, please?
Where are we at now?
Item 10A is a request by the City of San Diego to repair an existing storm drain system located adjacent to a sewer pump station at the southern terminus of Camino de la Costa in La Jolla. The street end is located inland of the bluff and beach, and the proposed repairs include filling two sea caves and construction of a new 30-foot-high, 28-foot-long tieback seawall on the coastal bluff face. And this slide indicates the project site. This is a popular street end for both physical and visual access to the shoreline in La Jolla. The project plans have been reviewed by the commission's engineer and geologist, and they concur that the pump station is in danger from erosion. Should the sea caves and associated backfill fail, the street end would also be undermined. The proposed project is the minimum necessary to address the erosion problem and the least environmentally damaging alternative. The seawall will protect the pump station, storm drain, adjacent public access stairway, and the street end, all of which are public improvements. Therefore, staff is not recommending that the beach sand mitigation fee be required. An additional parking space will also be provided at the reconstructed street end as an additional public benefit. Conditions of approval are those typically applied to seawall projects, including no further seaward extension of the shoreline protective device in the future. This slide shows the condition of the site today. As condition, we believe that the public access and public views are adequately addressed and protected, and we believe the conditions are acceptable to the applicant. That concludes my comments.
Thank you. Are there any ex parties starting on my left? No ex parties. And with that, no, are there any speaker? Any speaker slips?
No speaker slips.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move
Commissioner Secord.
I've moved that the Commission approve coastal development permit 6-06-153 pursuant to the staff recommendation.
Second.
A yes vote.
And the second was motion by Commissioner Secord and second by Commissioner Akajian. And would you like to speak to your motion?
No, Mr. Secord. Chair.
Commissioner Akajian?
No, sir.
Okay. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the approval of the permit as condition and adoption of the following resolutions and findings as contained in this staff report. Is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, it's the commission hereby approves unanimously a coastal development permit for the proposed development and adopts the findings set forth in the staff report. 10B.
And can I have the PowerPoint for this item, please? This is item 10B6078 Palmer. This project is for the shotcrete application to the bluff face and includes filling of a sea cave as a follow-up to an emergency permit below a blufftop property on Camino de la Costa that contains an existing single-family residence in La Jolla. And the slide shows the project site. Seaward of the residence is a swimming pool and a substantial bluff retaining wall, both of which are pre-coastal act and accessory improvements that do not generally warrant shoreline protection under the policies of the Coastal Act. In this particular case, the project has been reviewed by the commission's engineer and the geologist, and they concur that the proposed shotcrete application and sea cave fill is appropriate and preventative in nature, with minimal impacts to the beach and bluff. The shotcrete is colored and textured to conform in appearance to the surrounding natural landform. This slide shows the construction as it exists today. This is, again, a follow-up to an emergency permit, so the work has already occurred. And this also shows the substantial bluff retaining wall that exists. And what we found that if failure of this wall would occur, and again, it's a pre-coastal act wall, there would be more substantial adverse effects on the natural landform than allowing it to remain with the minimal protective works that are proposed. However, should the proposed preventative measures not function as anticipated, alternatives, including removal of the retaining wall and swimming pool in lieu of a more substantial seawall, would be warranted. The conditions of approval acknowledge this and assure that there would be no further seaward encroachment for the shoreline protection. The conditions of approval are acceptable to the applicant, and that can conclude my comments at this time.
I'm
that
sorry.
Concludes my comments.
Thank you. Yeah, are there any ex parties? No ex parties? Do we have any speaker slips on this one? No speaker slips. Okay.
I move that the commission approve coastal development permit 6-07-8 pursuant to the staff recommendation and request a yes vote.
Then moved by Commissioner Secord, seconded by Commissioner Gonzalez. And the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the approval of the permit as condition and adoption of the following resolutions and findings as contained in the staff report. Is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, it's unanimously approved. The commission then approves the coastal development permit for the proposed development and adopts the findings set forth in the staff report. 10C.
Yes, 10C is 60757 Kandanov, and this is a proposal to allow operation of an 8-foot by 20-foot self-contained concession trailer as a 2-year concession at Torrey Pines State Beach. The trailer would be to sell food and sundries and would be located in an unimproved area adjacent to the North Torrey Pines State Beach parking lot, which is located on the inland side of Highway 1. This trailer is the type of new concession that State Parks has been proposing for use of state parkland, and we've indicated to them that a coastal development permit is required for these types of facilities. Some of the concerns that staff has identified relate to the visibility from the beach and scenic Highway 1 and possible use of public parking spaces. In this case, there will be minimum visibility of the trailer from the highway, and it will not be visible from the beach or usurp any parking areas. The conditions of approval limit the term of the permit to 2 years and limit the signage on the trailer in size, location, and message so that there's no advertising for other than the available products permitted. And again, these conditions are acceptable to the applicant. And that concludes my comments.
Thank you very much. And any ex parties? Starting my left, no ex parties. We have no speaker slips. Pleasure of my colleagues.
I move that the commission approve coastal development permit number 6-07-057 pursuant to the staff recommendations.
Commissioner Gonzalez has made the motion, and Commissioner Secord has seconded the motion. They're asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the approval of the permit as conditioned and adoption of the resolutions and findings. Is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, it's unanimously approved. The commission approves the coastal development permit for the proposed development and adopts the findings as set forth in the staff report. Okay.
Next item, 11A. We are moving quickly through this agenda this morning. The Attorney General Jamie Patterson would like to be present for this item, and we would also like to have a closed session with the commission prior to the public hearing on the item. She was not able to be here at the beginning of the meeting. She had a previous commitment and is hoping to get here as soon as possible, and hopefully by 10.
Well, why don't we trail it until we'll work through the rest of the agenda, and would that work for you?
That's fine. I was going to suggest that.
Okay. Took the words right out of your mouth this morning. Yeah. We're moving too fast, I guess.
We are moving quickly.
Okay, then. We're going to go to 12, right?
Yes, item
Orange
12
County.
Is the Deputy Director's report for the South Coast District. So we'll shift to the South Coast District, Orange County items. And this is the list of waivers, amendments, and extensions for the Orange County area. The report includes 3 regular waivers, 4 de minimis waivers, and 1 non-material amendment. These projects are the type that are routinely approved by the commission, and we're not aware of any opposition to the items. Therefore, staff recommends the commission concur with the executive director's determination and approve the deputy director's report.
Is there any objection to finding concurrence with the executive director's determination and the report? Hearing none, the commission concurs.
And item 13, there were no items that were moved to the consent calendar for the South Coast District.
That's correct.
So that brings us to item 14A. And this is the City of Newport Beach LCP Amendment number 1-06A. Lennar. This amendment is to the certified land use plan of the city's LCP to change the land use designation of a 4.25-acre area currently occupied with tennis courts, a clubhouse, and ancillary uses associated with the adjacent Newport Beach Marriott Hotel. The site is currently designated for visitor-serving commercial use, the same as the adjacent hotel. And the proposed use is medium-density residential, and this is designed to accommodate construction of a 79-unit condominium development on the 4.25-acre site. The concern that was raised by the proposal, or is raised by the proposal, is the loss of land specifically reserved for visitor-serving uses, which are a higher priority use under the Coastal Act than residential or general commercial. Ideally, with such proposals, an equivalent amount of area is designated for visitor-serving uses to offset the proposed loss. However, the city and the property owner were not able to identify any suitable sites of similar size due to the nature of build-out of the city. And this site is part of Newport Center. It's an approximately 9.5 acres of land would remain at Newport Center designated for visitor-serving uses. The Marriott Hotel is also entitled to 611 units, with only 532 of those units built, and the city has indicated that the proposed conversion of land from the visitor-serving use would not affect the ability of the Marriott Hotel to add the 79 additional units on their property. Even though this property is currently operated as a private tennis club with limited availability to the general public, it could potentially support some other form of commercial or recreational use in the future that has greater accessibility. Therefore, this was a difficult issue for staff because we don't wish to establish an adverse precedent for removal of these prime visitor-serving designated land in coastal communities. Some of the coastal communities have more limited visitor-serving opportunities than Newport Beach. As a result, the property owner has proposed a mitigation fee to offset the loss of the visitor-serving designated land, which includes contribution of $5 million towards funding for phase two of the ongoing restoration effort by state parks and the concessionaire Crystal Cove Alliance to renovate the historic district within Crystal Cove State Park. And phase two would include completion of outdoor educational commons, the beach museum, and some overnight hotel accommodations as well. Staff believes that in this particular case, the amount of the fee and the benefit of the daytime and overnight facilities at Crystal Cove State Park will adequately offset the loss of land that is designated for visitor serving use and currently occupied by tennis courts. Therefore, staff is recommending denial and approval with suggested modifications, which would allow conversion of the land only upon payment of a $5 million fee. This mitigation requirement is to offset the loss of the visitor-serving designated land, and it has been incorporated into the suggested modifications that are on page 5 of the staff report. Again, staff is recommending denial and approval with suggested modifications. And okay. Those motions are found on page 3 of the staff report.
Thank you very much. Any ex parties, starting on my left? Commissioner Schallenberger?
Yes, this morning I met with Laura Davick, who is president and founder of the Crystal Cove Alliance. We talked about, and Sara Wan was there also, we talked about the history of Crystal Cove, its current status of development, that phase one has been completed, and how very popular it is. There's 100% occupancy rate all the time. She described phase two, and I believe it's a $6 million project for phase two, and that this $5 million for mitigation, the mitigation fees to going to Crystal Cove would nearly complete that phase. If they got this mitigation money, they would be able to begin in January. And then we talked about phase three, which is the next one, $16 million. And the wonderful thing about that is once that's completed, Crystal Cove would be a self-sustaining park, something that we don't have. And then We spent quite a bit of time talking about the benefit of a nonprofit being the concessionaire for a state park. So it was related to this project only in the sense of how the mitigation money would be spent.
Thank you, Commissioner Schellenberger. I had an ex-party this morning in the hall, actually the elevator. I ran into Jarrett Ficker, who let me know that he was in favor of the staff recommendation and working with Lennar and the city to pay the $5 million mitigation fee, and that he thought it would be very good for the Alliance and everyone else, and just was happy with the staff recommendation as it is now.
Yes, I was at the same meeting with Mary Schellenberger with Laura Davick this morning, and her ex-party report was complete.
Commissioner Secor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had substantially the same meeting with Jared Ficker that you did, with the same findings and the same result. Thank you.
Commissioner Blank.
On a separate subject, I was meeting with Mark Massara and some others on a different issue, and this one came up, and we discussed the $5 million number, whether that was sufficient or not, and in general, this notion of compensation for development.
Thank you, Commissioner Blank. Anyone else? No? Okay. With that, I'll open the public hearing, and we have two speaker slips. Mr. First, we'll start with the City of Newport Beach, Dave Kiff. Mr. Kiff? Sir, how much time are you requesting, sir?
1 minute, Chairman Kerr.
Granted.
Chairman Kerr and Commissioners, my name is Dave Kiff. I'm Assistant City Manager of the City of Newport Beach. I'm here before you today on behalf of the city to urge your support of staff's recommendation. The city has had an opportunity to weigh in on review the staff report, and we're full support of the suggested modifications to the city's land use plan and to the $5 million contribution to the Crystal Cove Alliance. We're privileged to have the Crystal Cove Historic District within our jurisdiction, and very proud to have that as an amenity within our community that we share with the rest of the state. As the commission knows, it's a one-of-a-kind asset to the people of California to be enjoyed by all families from all over. And a faster restoration means that more of each generation can relive the same Crystal Cove experience. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Laura Davick from Crystal Cove Alliance. Welcome.
Good morning. Chairman Krug. Pardon me?
How much time, ma'am?
2 minutes?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Chairman Krug and Commissioners, my name is Laura Davick. I'm the president and founder of the Crystal Cove Alliance, the nonprofit cooperating association and concessionaire benefiting the Crystal Cove State Park Historic District. We're a nonprofit, 501c public benefit, and our mission is to protect and preserve the historic district, its beach and marine life refuge. I'm here before you today to urge your support of the proposed City of Newport Beach LUP amendment. The proposal before you includes $5 million contribution towards Crystal Cove State Park Historic District for phase two restoration and rehabilitation for public use. These funds are vital to the historic district and would facilitate the immediate commencement of phase two restoration, probably by next January. Currently, only 22 of the 46 cottages have been restored, and their restoration has been a storybook success for Crystal Cove State Park, as well as the Alliance and all coastal visitors. Visitors and overnight guests are now able to enjoy a piece of California coastal history that prior to the restoration was not available. In the first year of operation, the park has welcomed more than 25,000 registered guests, served 150,000 dining guests, provided enhanced public accessibility, afforded and offered numerous free educational programs to children and several thousand park visitors. Crystal Cove Alliance, we raise funds through a variety of means, through private donations, special events, and foundations to improve and expand upon park programs. Currently, we have about approximately $22 million that needs to be raised to complete the restoration. So you can imagine this $5 million will go a very long way towards helping with that goal. These funds will aid in the completion of phase two, which will create a village center in the historic district That includes the outdoor educational commons area, cottages 42, 43, and 44, overnight accommodations on the beach at cottage 40, the beaches museum at cottage 13, and cottage 45 and 5, and garage and creek restoration. This proposal is a significant opportunity to continue the restoration of the historic district, provide lower-cost visitor-serving accommodations, educational opportunities, and additional visitor-serving uses at Crystal Cove. This funding represents an immediate commencement of the next phase of restoration. It is our mission to restore and preserve for future generations the Crystal Cove Historic District's unique cultural, natural, and historic resources by creating living experiences for the education and enjoyment of all. This proposal furthers our mission. On behalf of Crystal Cove Alliance, we urge you to approve the amendment before you today. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. With that, I'll close the public hearing and go back to staff for staff response.
Yes, again, the suggested modification just establishes in the policy of the land use plan the requirement for the mitigation fee towards Crystal Cove if the conversion of the 4.25 acre land occurs. The coastal development permit is subject to the commission's jurisdiction, and that will be on a future hearing, and we'll deal with the actual implementation of that in lieu fee as part of that permit.
Okay.
That concludes my comments.
Thank you. Commissioner Lowenthal.
Mr. Chairman, colleagues, I'd like to move that the Commission certify the City of Newport Beach Land Use Plan Amendment NPBMAJ 1-06 Part A as submitted and recommend a no vote.
Second. Moved by Commissioner Lowenthal, seconded by Vice Chair Neely. They're recommending a no vote. Failure of this motion will result in the denial of the land use plan amendment as submitted and adoption of the following resolutions and findings as contained in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion, Commissioner Lowenthal?
No.
Okay. Vice Chair Neely?
No.
No. Okay. With that, Commissioner Wan?
Just a comment. I agree with staff that when I looked at this initially, it was a, you know, there was some consideration because I remember the initial submittal and the reasons for denial of the LCP amendment, which were valid. This is visitor-serving commercial, which is hard to come by. You can't, and from a Coastal Act perspective, is certainly a priority over residential. On the other hand, I looked at Crystal Cove, and Crystal, what they're doing in Crystal Cove is so wonderful and is setting such a great example, not only for this state, but elsewhere. I mean, this is a nonprofit whose purpose is to support the parks. And they are the, from what I understand, they are the only nonprofit that's running a concession in either the state parks of this state or even in the national parks. And frankly, that's the way these concessions should be run, so that the money from those concessions go back to the park and the purpose and the intent is consistent with the park. And I think supporting this endeavor is really important.
Thank you, Commissioner Wong. Commissioner Secord.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a curiosity, with respect to the zoning, it is apparently visitor serving, yet it is a tennis court, which is not open to the public. So did the zoning get there after the tennis court, or did the was the tennis court built on visitor-serving zoned land, if you know?
Well, the tennis court is actually part of the Marriott Hotel, so
yes,
it is open to the general public. It's just more limited availability because you have to be a member of the club or the hotel or a visitor at the hotel.
Okay, but it's not open to public who the public who is not a tenant of the hotel, isn't that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
But it is consistent with the visitor-serving zoning.
So did the was the land zoned at the time the tennis court was built? Is that the way it was?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Commissioner Burke?
Well, you know, I think that the fact that a nonprofit is operating it is admirable, but I caution that nonprofits are operating businesses, that and if the nonprofit is not paying tax, has an unfair advantage against businesses who do operate and do pay tax. taxes in the state, so you know that's always a consideration.
Yeah. Any of my other colleagues before I call Commissioner Schellenberger?
Yeah, I'm going to support staff recommendation. My only concern with it is I wouldn't want this to be seen as a strong precedent, the idea of paying mitigation for developing recreational lands, open space lands, visitor-serving lands is not something that I would normally support. I find this a unique situation, both in terms of the tennis courts are actually not open to the public, but I recognize that the land in the future, we are now foreclosing the use of that land as visitor-serving. So I'm willing to do it in this case because of the unique circumstances of both the condition of the land now as well as the benefit to Crystal Cove and the number of people, the great number, increased number of public that can enjoy that state park. But it's my vote in support of it today should not be interpreted in any way as a general support of mitigation for development, mitigation fees in exchange for development.
Thank you, Commissioner Schellenberger. Commissioner Blank?
I find myself in the surprising position of violently agreeing with Commissioner Schellenberg. I do have some questions for staff along that lines. If $100,000 had been offered, would staff have been recommending we do this deal?
This was the result of months of negotiation to try to find the proper mitigation that could be funded as an offset for this conversion of land. And the $100,000 figure that you mentioned would not have been sufficient to complete the Phase 2 improvements at Crystal Cove or provide the kind of benefit that those improvements would provide. So I don't believe so, no.
So the answer was no, right? So the point is there was a price that the staff came up with that there was one number or set of numbers that were unacceptable and there were other numbers that were acceptable. I'm kind of interested in, I mean, is there a sliding fee, or since we've established that there is a price here, I'm again agreeing with Commissioner Schellenberg that I don't want a precedent that, you know, we could go to staff and look up a fee that says, well, here's how you do building and mitigation on the coast. And since the staff report explicitly doesn't discuss those values, I also want to register my concern about putting a price on development on the coast. And by the way, let me now take the other piece of it is, I'm in violent support of public-private partnerships on the coast. I'm just concerned, again, about we've now nailed the number. And by the way, when you look through very old staff reports, we've done some of these things in the 80s where, you know, we did it for tens of thousands of dollars, which now kind of looks a little ridiculous. I just don't want people looking at us in 20 years and having done something we're all going to kind of regret. So I am in support. I will be voting yes. I just would like staff to think about Commissioner Schellenberg's comments, which were much more eloquent than mine.
I'd like to add, I remember the hearing. This was quite a lengthy hearing in this particular subject. This is more about, it's more than about money. It's about the organization and the purpose. And these tennis courts, the proposal at the time was they wanted to, Lennar wanted to change to residential use and build condominiums there. And we were very concerned about the loss of the visitor serving. But there's a great upside for the project and this unique circumstances of where this is located in Newport Beach and the golf course. I think staff and the Coastal Alliance, everybody's done a very good job in negotiating, and Lennar in negotiating. I give credit to all of them because this was unique in the set that it was a unique piece of property and it was part of this hotel and it was going to be used for, it changed the land value, made it very high, the high land residual value, to allow the developer to participate in this. And at the same time, I think it's a win for everybody with the Coastal Alliance. And it is about the organization and the purpose. It's more than just the money. And I was very much against this when it came up, and I'm glad it got resolved in the manner it did. Commissioner Wan.
Yes, just to add to what both you and Commissioner Schallenberger said, this isn't simply a question of how many dollars can do this, and I don't want this to be interpreted that way or to set a precedent. I agree with you. This is, in this case, it's a unique circumstance because of the situation, because of who this is going to, and the purpose for which these funds are going to be used.
Commissioner Berg.
I want to support this, so I just want to be clear on this.
Sure.
So it means that if somebody comes along who we feel has an admirable project, we can sell the mitigation, right? Is that what we're saying there? Is that what Ms. Schallenberger is saying? I'm confused. That's what it sounds like to me. So I need to know what differentiates this from any other good project.
Well, I think this one, as I said.
No, I'm asking them,
okay,
Mr. Chairman.
That's fine, Commissioner Burke.
It's a combination of factors that makes this unique, including the property that's going to be converted, its use, how it's being used, what it's being used for, and the purposes of the funding. It's a whole series of factors that make it unique.
Follow-up question to that, or no? Okay. Okay. With that, any other commissioners want to weigh in? If not, I will ask the clerk call for a roll call vote on this, and asking the maker and the seconder asking for a no vote. And would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Shajian. Commissioner
no.
Blank.
No.
Commissioner Burke.
No.
Commissioner Lowenthal.
No.
Commissioner Gonzalez. Commissioner Secord?
No.
Commissioner Neely?
No.
Commissioner Kinsey?
No.
Commissioner Schallenberger?
No.
Commissioner Wan?
No.
Chairman Kruer?
No.
Unanimous.
Unanimous. Okay, the commission hereby denies the City of Newport Beach Land Use Plan Amendment NPBMHA-106. Part A as submitted and adopts the findings stated in the staff report. Commissioner Lowenthal, motion two.
Mr. Chairman, colleagues, I move that the Commission certify the City of Newport Beach Land Use Plan Amendment NPBMAJ-1-06, Part A, if modified as suggested in the staff report, and I would recommend a yes vote.
Second.
It's been moved by Commissioner Lowenthal and seconded by Vice Chair Neely. The maker and the seconder are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the certification of the land use plan with the suggested modification and adoption of the resolutions and findings contained in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion, Commissioner Lowenthal? Vice Chair Neely? Okay. Any other commissioners before I... Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, it's unanimously approved. The commission certifies the land use plan amendment NPBMAJ-106, Part A for the City of Newport Beach, if modified and suggested, and adopts the findings set forth in the staff report. Okay. That'll take us to... we can go back now. Let's finish this out here on this, and then 16.
Yes, let's go with 16C.
B.
506-460, the County of Orange. This is a proposal by the County of Orange Flood Control District to replace the existing stormwater pump station at Los Alamitos Retarding Basin, located in both the City of Long Beach and Seal Beach. The pump station will be approximately 9,500 square feet and 24 feet high, with 4 new pumps powered by natural gas. The county considered alternatives to reduce the amount of wetland impacts from 2.1 acres by relocating the pump station to an upland berm that contains isolated patches of mule fat. To offset that loss, the project includes creation of 0.28 acres of wetland habitat as part of a habitat mitigation plan, which is a 4-to-1 mitigation ratio. The pump station's allowable use in wetlands as an incidental public service purpose, and the wetland impacts have been minimized and mitigated consistent with Section 30233 of the Act. Staff is recommending approval with conditions that address the habitat mitigation plan, BMPs for water quality and archaeological resources monitoring plan, and lighting. The applicant has expressed concern regarding the need to provide the water quality plan prior to issuance of the permit, and staff has revised the condition in the green addendum to allow for submittal of that water quality plan prior to commencement of construction. Similarly, they have also expressed a concern about special condition number 3, which requires the archaeological resources monitoring program to be submitted prior to issuance of the permit. And commission staff has looked at that and agree that if we can add a sentence at the end of section E of condition number 3 that would allow for the Office of Historic Preservation and the Native American Heritage Commission review to occur prior to commencement of construction and not prior to issuance of the permit, that would allow sufficient time and not be a concern to commission staff. So I'd like to add this language into the record at the end of section 3E, OHP and NAHC review, comment, and subsequent revisions to the archaeological monitoring plan may occur after issuance of the permit, but must be completed prior to commencement of development. All plans shall be submitted to the executive director for review and approval. And I think with that, then, the conditions are acceptable to the applicant, and that would conclude my comments.
Thank you. I'll go back. Are there any ex parties? No ex parties on this item. I'll open up the public hearing. Mr. Jim Vols. How much time are you requesting, sir?
Just a few seconds, 30 seconds.
You got it.
All right. I didn't know that Sherilyn was going to mention this, so I was prepared to speak in the event that she did not talk about the one sentence we wanted added.
Would you state your name for the record?
Oh, I'm so sorry. My name is Jim Vols, and I'm a senior civil engineer with the County of Orange and the project manager for the Los Alamitos pump station. And I just want to support the project and thank Sherilyn and Carl Schwing, who we worked with, and Chuck Posner on this project. And the conditions that we've agreed to now are acceptable to us, and we're good to go. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. With that, I'll come back to Commissioner. I'll go back to staff. Is there anything else?
Nothing else.
Nothing else? Then I'll go to Commissioner Lowenthal.
Commissioner colleagues, I'd like to move that the commission approve with special conditions Coastal Development Permit 5-06-460 per staff recommendation, and I'd like to urge a yes vote.
Moved by Commissioner Lowenthal, seconded by Vice Chair Neely. Passage of this motion will result in the approval of the Coastal Development Permit application with special conditions and adoption of the following resolutions and findings as contained in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion? Vice Chair Neely? No? Anyone else? Any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the commission unanimously approves a coastal development permit for the proposed development and adopts the findings set forth in this staff report. Okay, and with that, we'll go back to, with the pleasure, to 11A.
Yes.
Do you need a closed session first?
We do need a closed session on this item.
Okay, so at this point, we'll have a closed session. I'll have to ask the public if to go outside for a minute. And how long do you think it'll be so we can give them?
Through the chair, we would recommend that the commission also discuss a number of the other items that are on closed session.
Okay, that's fine. So how much time does it just give a public an idea?
Half an hour or so?
Half hour. Okay. So.
10:30.
10:30, probably. Okay. We'll go back to the general counsel, and you can report on the closed session.
Yes, the commission met in closed session earlier this morning. The commission discussed a number of cases. The first case it discussed was Credowitz versus California Coastal Commission. The commission received advice from its attorneys, but took no action. The commission also discussed Coastal Law Enforcement Action Network versus California Coastal Commission, Pacific Gas and Electric Company, real party in interest. It received an update from its attorneys, but took no action. Regarding Habitat for Hollywood Beach versus California Coastal Commission, the commission received an update from its attorneys and provided direction to the Attorney General's office. Regarding La Jolla Beach and Tennis Club Partners versus California Coastal Commission and Sierra Club versus California Coastal Commission, the commission received an update from its attorneys and took no action. Regarding City of Malibu versus California Coastal Commission, the commission received an update from its attorneys and took no action. Regarding Sarah Canyon Property Owners Association versus California Coastal Commission, the commission received an update from its attorneys and took no action. Regarding Manchester Pacific Gateway LLC versus California Coastal Commission, the commission received an update from its attorneys and took no action. Regarding Douglas versus California Coastal Commission, the commission received an update from its attorneys and took no action. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you very much. With that, I'll go to our deputy director, and I guess we're going to start on 11A. Right?
Yes, item 11A, could I have the PowerPoint up for this item, please? This is amendment number A133/79A2/F6760A3 and the Credowitz proposal. And it would modify the terms and location of a previously required vertical access easement on a blufftop site containing a single family residence in La Jolla. And the slide shows the site. This is the site. I'm sorry, this is the site. The history of the commission action on this property started in 1978. There was a decision of the regional commission appealed twice to the state commission due to concerns regarding protection of an existing informal access way through this property to the beach. On appeal, the permit was ultimately approved for addition to a single family residence. Lateral access offer to dedicate was required, as well as an offer to dedicate a vertical access way 5 feet wide from the street down the bluff along the alignment of the trail that existed at the time. This was not the historic trail, but an alternative alignment. And on the slide, you'll see what this was the historic path that the addition precluded. And this slide shows the alignment of the vertical access easement that was approved by the commission. The commission found that the proposed addition precluded the use of the access way, thereby diminishing the public's right of access to the state-owned tidelands, and required an alternate access way to offset the burden of the project on public access. Arguments were made by the property owner at the time regarding safety, but the commission found it was not difficult to walk down the bluff face, and with minor improvements, the access way could be easily traversed with little damage to the landforms. The commission found the access to the Cove Beach below the site and the city-owned oceanfront park adjacent to the site would be totally precluded by approval without provision for alternate public access. Unfortunately, construction of the addition was not stopped during the appeal process, and the property owner at the time failed to record the offer to dedicate, and the offers have not yet been recorded on the property. In 2004, the property owner, this property owner applied for removal of some unpermitted bluff face improvements and installation of garage improvements, patio, barbecue, and landscaping improvements in the rear yard. The commission required the offer to dedicate for vertical access easement consistent with what the previous commission action did on appeal. This proposal was last before the commission in 2005 when the property owner proposed to replace the requirement for the offer to dedicate for vertical access with an easement for emergency lifeguard access only and payment of a $10,000 fee for public access improvements in the La Jolla area. The amendment request also included removal of the unpermitted bluff face improvements and installation of patio, barbecue, and landscape improvements in the rear yard. The commission denied the applicant's request to revise the access easement requirement, but approved the other improvements, except those that were located within the alignment of the access easement or those that could interfere with the public use of the easement in the future. Subsequent to that decision, the applicant has sued the commission, and we've been working for the last 2 years to delineate an alternative access easement alignment and location and the terms of opening the easement for public use. The amendment application before you today is the result of a settlement agreement between the applicant and commission staff, which calls for approval of an amendment to the permit by the commission. However, the applicant is not in full agreement with all the terms, which he has addressed in a letter that was distributed to you this morning. I'll summarize the main points of the proposed amendment, and the settlement agreement is attached as Exhibit 6 to the staff report. The amendment would replace the requirement to record a vertical access easement in the previously approved location with recordation of a 20-foot-wide vertical access easement along the southern property line that would be recorded prior to issuance of the amendment, but not required to be open to public use until 2080 and upon acceptance of the easement by a public agency and private association acceptable to the executive director. The terms of the type of improvements allowed within the easement and the type of fencing allowed prior to and after opening the easement are also specified, as well as the hours of operation, the responsibility for maintenance, trash collection, and liability of the easement holder. The applicant proposes immediate grant of easement for emergency lifeguard access to the beach and also recordation of the offer to dedicate for lateral access along the beach below the site prior to issuance of this amendment. In exchange for revising the terms and location of the vertical access easement from that was previously required by the commission, the applicant proposes to construct a public viewing area within a small triangular piece of public right-of-way just inland of the residence, from which panoramic views of the ocean and La Jolla Cove are available above the home. Mr. Kredowitz would pay $50,000 towards planning, design, and construction of the improvements in the viewing area, including benches, a drinking fountain, landscaping, and signage. Any excess funds, or if for some reason the city would not permit the improvements, the $50,000 would go to the Coastal Conservancy violation remediation account. This is a slide of the area that would be improved for public viewing. And this is an example of the view from the viewing area. This is also where the vertical access easement would be located. And finally, also in exchange for revising the terms of the access easement, the applicant proposes to contribute $200,000 towards reconstruction of a stairway known as Angel's Flight that was destroyed by fire in 1960. A new stairway in that location, if constructed, will provide access to the southern extent of the same Cove Beach that the access across the Kredowitz property would provide. Angel's Flight is to the right, and this is the Cove Beach that would be accessed by the accessway. The $200,000 will go toward feasibility studies, design, and construction within with $50,000 reserved for long-term maintenance. The City of San Diego Parks and Recreation Department and the La Jolla Conservancy have indicated support towards funding the amount needed to complete the construction of the stairway. The applicant's financial obligation would stop at the time the $200,000 is paid. Staff is recommending approval of the amendment with several conditions designed to implement the terms of the settlement agreement. The conditions of approval again address the offer to dedicate the lateral access on the beach and the offer to dedicate the vertical access. The accessway would be open daily from 1 hour before sunrise to 1 hour after 2080. Conditions also require modification of the existing unauthorized gate to conform to the city code and that the upper 75% of the surface area is open to light. The conditions require trimming and maintenance of existing landscaping in the easement area and the public viewing area to not exceed 3 feet, as well as new landscaping should be within that 3-foot height to protect public views to the ocean from the vista point and through the accessway. In addition, the condition requires no fencing or patio improvements within the future vertical public access easement. And this condition is one the property owner does not accept. He wants to install, at a minimum, a barbecue within the easement. Staff feels this is not consistent with the intent of the easement or the previous commission action. At the time of the past commission decision, the actual location of the easement was not known. That is something that has been negotiated through the settlement agreement, but the commission did not approve any private accessory improvements within that easement or in close proximity to the easement if the public use of the accessway would be adversely affected. Even though the accessway may not be open to public use for some time, staff believes it should remain free and clear of encroachments with low-level landscaping to preserve public views through the site and guard against any potential argument in the future that the private use of the easement should preclude opening of the access to public use. That's not true, is it? The applicant also disagrees with the requirement of no permanent irrigation system on the residential site. This condition is typically applied by the commission to blufftop development to reduce groundwater saturation, runoff from the site, and erosion of the adjacent bluffs. The irrigation system that's been installed was done in connection with other improvements without a permit. The staff is recommending that irrigation system be removed and replaced with a temporary irrigation system. Any landscaping installed in this location should be drought tolerant and require little watering in any event. And we believe that the requirement that there be no permanent irrigation is the correct interpretation of the City of San Diego's LCP Land Development Code. I believe that those are the only two areas of difference between the applicant and the staff recommendation. And I'll just finish showing this is the location of the Angel's Flight stairs that would serve the Cove Beach that is below the subject site. And this is a slide looking at the site from Coast Walk. And that concludes my comments at this time.
Okay. With that, I'll come back to the commission and ask for ex parties, starting on my left. Okay. I had an ex party last Friday. I had a request for a meeting with Joanne Pearson and Dave Grubb in La Jolla, California, and I met with them, and they went over a brief history of this project and the history of it, and were very concerned about the precedent being set on the 80 years, and they were just concerned in general about the project and the staff recommendation they were not in agreement with. Mr. Gonzalez?
I had an ex parte with Joanne Pearson, Gabe Solmer from San Diego Coastkeeper, and Dave Grubb from the Sierra Club last Wednesday morning in San Diego. They indicated that they were not happy with staff's recommendation, that they found it inadequate, and they were concerned about the precedent-setting nature of this proposal.
Okay, with that, I'll no other ex parties. I'll open the public hearing, and Mr. Kredowitz? Sir, and how much time are you requesting? I'll save some time if you say I recommend to you a few minutes for rebuttal. So how much time would you like?
Probably need about 2 to 3 minutes, and then I would like to save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay. Why don't we give you 5 minutes, and we'll save you 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Oh, thank you so much.
Is that fine?
Yes.
Okay.
My name is Yuri Kredowitz. I reside at the residence 7957 Princess Street in La Jolla, and I am the applicant. We've worked very hard with staff on this project. It's from the time that we submitted the original application, it's been some 8 years now. The full width and breadth of the improvements in the rear yard are a patio and a barbecue. I hope you understand that we are not the party that owned the home at the time that this whole issue with regard to the easement even occurred some 30 years ago. The people that owned the home at that time were the Bakers, and the Bakers filed for an expansion of their home. When the Coastal Commission asked the Bakers to give the easement, in going through the records, there was no follow-up with regard to forcing them to record that easement. So when the Bakers sold the house to the McKellars, there was nothing on title. When the McKellars sold the home to the Belzinskis, there was nothing on title. When Belzinski gave the home back to the bank, there was nothing on title. And when we purchased the home, there was nothing on title. So I had no idea that this easement even existed until Joanne Pearson brought it up to me when I first started trying to apply for this patio. So I hope that there isn't any sense that, you know, we as the homeowner were the malicious party that didn't want to give the easement in the first place. We found this out some 25 years later after this whole incident occurred. We agree with the staff report on all fronts except for two. Number one, with regard to the irrigation, the LCP in the area specifically outlines irrigation, and that you can have irrigation at the front of your home. If you look at the aerial, which I don't have my, I was going to depend on your PowerPoint, but if you look at the aerial, there's and especially the shot of the view corridor, you can see I have landscaping at the front of my home, and I have landscaping in an interior court on the way to my front door. And that landscaping is on a drip irrigation system, and I would ask that I be allowed to be able to keep that irrigation. But more specifically, for purposes of today's meeting, I'm more than happy to abide by the codes for irrigation in the area as specifically outlined under the LCP, and I would ask that that change be made. With regard to the improvements, under the agreement, the easement would be approximately 5 feet wide to the corner of my house, and then the area increases to 20 feet, but once the easement improvements are determined, it narrows back to 10 feet, and it's supposed to be as close to the southern property line as possible. I'm being asked to keep my improvements out of the entire 20 feet for the entire time between now and whenever the easement is actually utilized. I'm only asking, and there's an existing wall within, you know, that area. I'm only asking that I be allowed to be able to use that area, except for 5 feet, be able to use that area for my patio and the barbecue. And if you look at the improvements that I'm suggesting, if I have to be outside the 20-foot area, it totally wipes out the whole barbecue area. And if I move the barbecue any more to the north, all the smoke from the barbecue would go right into the windows of the family room of our home, and that's why we located it where it is. Those are the only two issues that I have. The rest of the issues, staff has, believe me, been very, very disciplined in their negotiations with me and did not give an inch. So I'll save the rest of my time for rebuttal if I could.
Thank you, Mr. Kredowitz. We'll give you that opportunity. Tony Ciani. Mr. Ciani, are you giving your, how much time are you requesting? You're doing an organized presentation? Is that correct?
Yes. I would like 10 minutes. I have a slide presentation. I failed to put that on my pink slip that I put in.
I don't know. Okay. Who's ceding time to you then? Flossie Horgan?
Yes.
Is 3 minutes. Mark Massara?
I think Mark is going to speak.
Oh, Mark's going to speak. Okay. And, okay. We'll give you 10 minutes, sir.
Thank you very much. It is still morning. So good morning, Chairman Kruer and members of the commission. My name's Tony Ciani. My home address is 340 Dune Mirror Drive. Before I left this morning at 3 o'clock, left La Jolla to drive up here, I went by the project site and noticed that yet one more unpermitted improvement has been installed. I'd like a first slide shown, please. This is a slide you've seen that's similar to the a slide shown by the staff. However, it shows the full extent of this pebble beach that's about 900 feet wide. It's three times the size of La Jolla Cove. The only access to this beach has been historically across the property. Next slide. To the right, or excuse me, to the south of this site, is an area known as Devil's Slide, and you can see that there's large boulders at this location. There's a promontory there that during high tide blocks any access from what would be the reconstruction of Angel's Flight to the subject Pebble Beach. Next slide. This is the Vista Point area that overlooks the site, and I think it's really important that you compare this with the 20-foot wide view easement that the staff is recommending down the southerly side of the property, and I'll bring that up a little further. By the way, there is a white sign there. That white sign is no longer at that site. It identifies this as a trail to the ecological reserve. That was prior to the development of the property. Next slide. This is the way that the property looked in 2005. And you can see that there is a scenic overlook of the caves, Coast Walk, the cove, and the ocean beyond. It's a beautiful place to watch sunsets, not just to go to the beach. Next slide. The proposed 20-foot corridor would look in this direction. It completely misses the view that you, if you look at your exhibit one, I believe it is, it shows the site. And you'll see that it's really a 90-degree angle vista point. And so I would recommend that the view corridor be established to go across the entire surface, the top surface of the building. Next slide. And then you would see something more like this. The shoreline immediately adjacent to the site is part of the area of special biological significance and ecological reserve and underwater park. Next slide. This is a site from Coast Walk. You can see that during high tide, any access from La Jolla Shores, which is in the distance, is blocked. The historic trail in this picture, it's before the development, and there was an entire parcel of land that had been left open. And the reason that trail was so well trodden is because it was the only trail to this beach. Angel's Flight did not take you to this beach. Next slide. This is a 1972 photo that I picked up from the Coastal Records Project. It shows the site, the separate lot that's part of the promontory and where the trail was and where the beach is. Next slide. And this is pre-1980 at the time of the 1977 through 1980 Coastal Commission hearings. And the trail was a switchback, came across the vacant lot to the promontory. Next slide. And as you can see, the surfers coming down, next slide, traversed the site down along the bluffs and then down to the shoreline. One of the things I want to pick up on as well is the lateral access conditions. It talks about from the toe of the bluff seaward, where in fact people even today who come to this beach from La Jolla Shores at low tide will hop up on these lower ledges, next slide, and use the lower platforms to rest, observe nature. They'll either kayak in here and do the same thing. So the lateral access, as the Coastal Commission saw it in 1980, was not just at the toe of the bluff. It was along the lower ledges of the bluff. Next slide. This is La Jolla Cove. It's about 300 feet wide. It has two stairways to the beach. It's the nearest pocket beach in La Jolla to the subject site. It's a mile from La Jolla shore, so there is no access, as things stand today, for a mile from La Jolla Cove all the way down to La Jolla Shores. And I also want to point out, with regard to safety, having been a former lifeguard in a permanent position, that immediately to the right of this is Boomer Beach. Boomer Beach has a vertical cliff down to it. It's very popular for body surfing. And it's a butt slide to the beach, to a very rugged ocean. There is no lock gate. There's no need for lock gates at the top of the subject site. Next slide. So back to this location. I think what's really important here is that, as the commission, protect the public access. I don't understand how 100 years from 1980 to 208 to 2080 does not interfere with the public rights of access were acquired over time. And there is such a preponderance of factual evidence dating back to at least 1930 of the public's use of this site for access that I don't understand why you can't make those same findings today, because those prescriptive rights have not vanished. They have not gone away. So any development being proposed today, regardless of what the Bakers did in 1980, you have to make those same findings. How does a locked gate not interfere with the public's right of access? How does it not impede access to the shoreline? I don't understand that. Next slide. This is a low tide version. People come here for tide pooling. They've been coming here since the 1890s. Next slide. Here's a person walking along the beach. This is circa 1980. Next slide, please. At high tide, you can see the Pebble Beach is still available, but the only access is down the subject site. Next slide. At the Marine Room, there's access during low tide, but as you can see, during high tide, there's no access. What occurs often is people will take their children, and I think there's a there's a letter in the file from the past chair of the Wind and Sea Surf Club who I think recently tried to take his children, or did take his children over here, found that he was landlocked by the incoming tide, decided to go up the trail at Princess Street, and found the gate locked. Tried to get help. Now imagine, you come up to the top of the trail, you get up there and you have to yell for help. Somebody has to go get a lifeguard away from their designated guarding beach, come over here, unlock a gate. What if it's nighttime? So I think it's an unreasonable assertion to assume that there's going to be a lock gate and that'll work. Next slide. The original location of the Angel's Flight was there. Next slide. This is a picture of where Angel's Flight went down. Next slide. There's a remnant part of Angel's Flight. It's a vertical drop to the beach. It used to be called Devil's Slide. Then it was called Angel's Flight. Next slide. With ladies, I guess these are the angels, maybe, coming down the stairway. Next slide. There's examples of pathways to beaches with houses on both sides and Laguna and up and down the coast. So the idea of having an access that's in between houses that go to a pocket beach such as this one, there's precedent for it up and down the coast. Next slide. It's an area of significance biologically. The applicant has illegally put, next slide, drain lines out of a sump down onto the beach. This proposal, if you look at your exhibits, if you look at exhibit detail B, I'm not sure what page that is. It's after Exhibit 2. You'll see a proposed patio. If you look at the aerial photos, patio's already been built. There are area drains, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 area drains. All of those are going to surcharge additional runoff, urban runoff, into the ASBS. It's absolutely prohibited. If you were to approve something like this, you would require there to be a pump with a gas-fired backup system to pump it up to Spindrift, which then drains into the diversion tanks that go down to Point Loma. That's the way all of the surface drainage should be done. The other thing is, look at Exhibit 2 and look at this 20-foot wide corridor. If you'll recall, the way that trail went is it went, the 1980 decision was to allow it to go down next to the garage and then pick up the trailhead and the vista point and pick up the diverse back down to the beach. What this does is it doesn't do what the staff says, widen it from 5 feet to 20. It narrows it from 60 to 20. And then they're saying make this the view corridor, when in fact the view corridor should be over the entire site. Next slide. This locked fence, which was there in 2005, has been changed to be a solid wall and a taller fence. Next slide. This is the scenic vista from Princess Street. I'd like you to protect the entire scenic vista, not part of it. I'd like you to protect the coastal access at this site. The notion of paying $200,000 for what is accounts to 100 years equates to $5.40 a day. That's pretty cheap. I don't think you can get into Torrey Pines State Park and park that way.
Thank you, Mr. Ciani. Thank you, sir. Mark Massara. Three minutes, sir.
Yes, thank you. Honorable Chair, Commissioners, Mark Massara, Sierra Club. In reviewing this so-called permit amendment, we believe that the wheels have really come off the cart. It's inconceivable to us that after 30 years of clawing and fighting to save this valuable, well-used public access way and beach, that we have... where we have prevailed at every single junction, that we now find ourselves on the edge of total disaster. It apparently it is the result of some privately negotiated backroom deal between the Attorney General and the Coastal Scufflaw here in otherwise known as the applicant. And the result is that this accessway will not be open until the year 2080. Under the circumstances, why not 30, 50, 40, 25 sounds reasonable. How does this happen? It's inexplicable to us. This is bizarre. Who even thought of this? We'll all be dead by the time the public can use this so-called access way. So why are we supposed to be happy about the fact that it's going to be open sunrise to sunset in the year 2081? This is really for the Hall of Fame of nutball planning. I have never heard of anything like this in Coastal Commission proceedings ever. How did this permit amendment, why is this called a permit amendment? This is a gut and evisceration of our 2005 permit victory, providing protection for that public accessway. Do you realize that every single community group, surfing organization, neighbor, public activist, and coastal access enthusiast that's taken the time to comment and review on this is pleading with you not to approve this agreement? So who is for this agreement should be the question. How have we even notified the neighbor that the new Vista Point Way is over their driveway? And how do they feel about that? It appears that lawyering has, it may be well-intentioned, but lawyering in this instance has trumped common sense. And our advice to you is that you run from this thing as fast as possible and get as far away as possible from it, because anyone voting to postpone the public being able to use this accessway until the year 2080 is going to be long remembered. So with that, we'd urge that you deny this quickly and get it over with. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Massara. Don't hold back next time. You know? Stevie Ross. Three minutes
should be plenty, and it's actually Steve Ross. I haven't been Stevie since I was five.
Oh, it looked like that.
Sorry. Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Steve Ross. I serve as vice president of Krikorian Premier Theaters, and I'm here this morning representing George Krikorian, the president of our company, and the owner of property immediately adjacent to the northeast of the Credowitz site. You have two letters from us, one from our attorney, Bob Vaki at Wirtz McCade Wallace Smoot and Brower, and another from Mr. Krikorian himself. I'd like to use the majority of my time to read in part from Mr. Krikorian's letter. And before I do that, to state that our basic position and what we hope you consider today is the fact that there is a long history, as you've heard a portion of CDP, Coastal Development Permit, and local zoning and building code violations on the Credowitz property. To date, there are 10 such violations on record as open cases at the City of San Diego. The current application addresses only 4 of the 10, leaving 6, which are itemized in Mr. Vaki's letter, unresolved. We wish for this matter to be continued until all of the coastal and local code violations can be considered in total, and that you take time to do that. Mr. Krikorian's letter reads in part, "In the 7 years I have owned my property at 1828 Spindrift Drive, La Jolla, the Credowitzes have repeatedly expanded existing structures, modified walls and fencing, made significant excavations, made improvements within the public right-of-way, and implemented other changes without regard to Coastal Act regulations and the codes of the City of San Diego. Today, you are asked to forgive a small number of the infractions having to do with coastal access, while the majority of the changes to the property, which should have been subject to the coastal development permit process, remain in place with no remedy required. Those of us who abide by applicable codes and laws when we improve our property find this approach offensive and unacceptable. This is not a simple dispute between neighbors. It raises a fundamental question, proposition. Either the Coastal Act matters or it doesn't. We urge you to stop, take a step back, and continue today's hearing. Then we ask that you direct staff to expand the scope of the subject permit application to include all outstanding Coastal Act and zoning code infractions on the Credowitz property. To do otherwise sets a dangerous precedent that sends the message to all property owners within the coastal zone, you need not comply with the Coastal Act as long as you play ball on the access issue. This is just wrong. Please do the right thing and make this application a complete response to the facts of the case. Thank you."
With that, Mr. Credowitz, it's your time for rebuttal, sir. And as we've previously agreed, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I do agree with Mr. Chiani with regard to the view corridor.
Would you state your name for the record?
I'm sorry, Yuri Credowitz, the applicant. I do agree with Mr. Chiani with regard to the view corridor. And again, the exhibit that you have for the placement of those benches can be easily modified, and we're going to be working. I think the direction is for us as the applicant to work with the City of San Diego to finalize those that observation point. And then to any changes to that plan would go back to the director for the director's review or staff for their review. And we fully intend to do that. So a minor modification of whether the bench faces this way or whether the bench faces that way is something we could easily accomplish. The view corridor is there. There are restrictions already set upon my home for my ability to raise the house any higher than it presently is. And it's not our intention to change the silhouette of that home whatsoever. With regard to the comparison of the cove and the beach below us, the cove is a sand beach. La Jolla Shores is a sand beach. The area below us is fully a cobble beach. So trying to discuss the draw of the public to our beach versus the draw of the public to the shores or the cove, I think Mr. Chiani is a little off on that. With regard to the lock gates, I have an electronic button that if you come up from the beach and you come across my property, which people have done, we merely direct them to the gate. There's a white button right there. Push it, unlocks the gate. Whether that occurs during the day or during the evening, we're fine with that. And we will even, if necessary, add to the stipulation that we'll have a sign there indicating, you know, push button to release gate. Now, under the trail, once the easement is utilized, It's to be opened only from a half hour before sunset to a half hour after sunset. So the gate would be locked, utilizing Mr. Chiani's example of the father with the child. But again, anytime anybody comes up our backyard, we're always amenable to letting them out, and would remain to do so. And we've always been amenable to letting the access be immediately open for emergency lifeguard services. And in our discussions with the lifeguard service, they've even indicated, quite frankly, we are not looking forward to this ever being open to the public because we'll be down here all the time on rescues down this cliff. Remembering that when you open that easement in the future, we're not talking about just sturdy young surfers going down that cliff. We're talking about kids and grandparents going down that cliff as well. So the situation out there isn't as safe as it used to be some 30 years ago because the topographics have changed out there due to erosion. And with regard to the easement being well-used access, it hasn't been open in over 30 years. And again, what we're trying to provide is you've got an existing easement, you've got existing foundations. By opening up Angel's Flight, we have an immediate area that we could access that same beach from that right now there is no funding for, but there will be funding in place for. And then when this easement is opened at our house in the future, you gain by having two access points to that beach as opposed to just having the one access point to the beach. With regard to the drain lines that Mr. Chiani pointed, I agree with you that they are not attractive. I did not install those drain lines. Those drain lines were installed over 30 years ago, and those drain lines drain the city's street. If you look at our cul-de-sac, if we had that photograph back up at our cul-de-sac, what you'll see is the drainage that comes down Spindrift and then comes down Princess Street, which is city streets, is what gets picked up there. The city does not pump that storm drain water up to Spindrift. What it does is it runs down Spindrift and goes out to Marine Room. The city is not pumping that water up, as Mr. Chiani is pointing out or trying to point out, and that is not my drainage system. What I did was in our design, we are draining merely the patio surface to that drain. It's not coming out of my bilge pumps or any of that stuff. That's all being pumped. I have a bilge pump under the house, as all the other homes do, and it pumps up to the sewer line. But our patio water is picked up there, and the city agreed it wouldn't make sense to pump it up to Princess Street only for it to be collected and come back down the same pipe that the city is using. So we are not violating. I think Mr. Chiani said that I have one more unpermitted improvement. There isn't any. I mean, there hasn't been any. And I understand that there have been modifications to this house over the years, from the Bakers to the McKellars to the Belzinskis and ourselves. And I have inherited some of those, and I am working with the city of San Diego right now to document any and all changes that have occurred in that house over the years. So, you know, the one major modification I made to that house was in interior, it was in the kitchen, and it was fully permitted. So, and any other violations that are out there are being processed with the city as we speak. So I urge you to please move forward with the agreement that has taken 2 hard years of negotiations with your staff, and that at this patio that I've been processing for over 8 years. And I just, again, implore you to please accept the 2 minor amendments I asked for, which are allow me to put irrigation in as per the LCP, and allow me to at least put in the patio improvement and the barbecue. And I will add a stipulation that states that I'll be responsible for the cost of removing the patio and barbecue at a future date once the easement alignment is selected.
Thank you, Mr. Kretowitz.
That was 5 minutes.
Your time's up.
Sorry. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. With that, I'll close the public hearing, and I'll go back to staff.
Thank you, Chairman Kuehr. As I indicated, and you've heard, that this amendment that's before you today is a result of several years of negotiations with the property owner, with the idea that an amendment would have to come back to the commission to approve any alternative to the previously required access improvements on the property. Nothing in the settlement agreement limits the commission's discretion in this regard, and there is no question that the reasons that the public access easement was required still exist on the property. The question that's before the commission today is whether or not the alternative that the applicant is proposing is acceptable to replace the requirement for the vertical access across the site. I'd like to address some of the points that were raised during the public hearing, specifically with regard to the lateral access way. The toe of the bluff in this case would include the inland extent of the caves, and that's clear in the findings. Regarding the vertical access way, I'll come back to the vertical access way. The revised landscaping and yard area fence plan that's on the property, we think, addresses the types of improvements that should be allowed on the property, even with the vertical access easement not open to public use. The corridor needs to be free and clear of view obstructions down the corridor. We think that the public viewing area alternative opens up the views across the site, specifically some of those that Mr. Chiani was addressing. There is a good panoramic view across the site of La Jolla Cove and down coast areas. We do believe that the physical encroachments in that access easement aren't appropriate, one for view reasons, but also, as I had indicated earlier, it would just be an encroachment that would have to be removed in the future. And there is adequate area elsewhere on the property for these private rear yard improvements. The irrigation system, again, the commission has a number of examples where we've prohibited permanent irrigation on blufftop properties, and that is our interpretation of the commission's, the city's land development code. If the commission was inclined to allow the irrigation within the front part of the property, inland of the residence, we could revise special condition number 3 to indicate that, however, an exception to the requirement may be made in the site area inland of the residence, subject to the executive director approval. That would give us discretion of allowing some irrigation on the front of the lot. However, the irrigation on the rear of the lot or the seaward side just contributes to runoff. It would contribute to runoff to the drainage pipe that was the source of some previous discussion. And we just don't think that it's appropriate or consistent with the city's land development code. There has been some discussion about other violations on the property. We did give the property owner the option of addressing some of those violations as part of this amendment, and he chose not to do that. The fact that that didn't occur doesn't lessen the fact that the violations exist and that they are subject to an ongoing enforcement action, first with the city and then with the commission. Regarding the vertical access easement, we certainly did not start our discussions with the applicant with the idea that this vertical access easement wouldn't be open until 2080. We did consider some options, such as the possible transfer of property. And in that case, the site would be sold with the easement in place in a manner that is consistent with how it should have been when the property was purchased. That option wasn't acceptable to the applicant. So again, what you have before you is this alternative. It is what it is. And with that, I'll turn it back over to the commission.
Thank you very much. And with that, I'll go first to recognize Commissioner Juan.
Well, to start with, I have a couple of questions of staff. First of all, question of you relative to the view corridor and why the orientation is in the way it is. I think Mr. Ciani brought out the difference in what would be the view corridor as is proposed versus what the view corridor ought to be. And can you talk to me about what would be involved in correcting that so that it, in fact, gave us the view corridor that is what he's talking about, that should be? Is it just the orientation or is it the location?
I believe it's the orientation. If you look on Exhibit 2 of the staff report, it's a narrow view corridor down to the end of the home. It's a 5-foot-wide view corridor. And the home itself is what really blocks the public view from the street end, any to, you know, 2 points to the north. So
if there were access, though, you'd be able to have a full view, wouldn't you?
If there was access that brought the public down to the point beyond the residence, yes.
All right. So this is all connected with the lack of access.
Lack of
ability to open
physical
that access,
yes.
Okay. I noticed in here there's a number of issues. I'm going to take up some of the smaller ones first, and then I'm going to get to the major stuff. That there's a gate and the wall that are both unpermitted. The gate is being revised. The wall, does that wall block public views?
No. It's below the 3-foot height limit.
Okay. Another minor one. It says a small lawn is allowed. It's one of the things that it says is that there's a small lot. I don't know what that means. If you're going to allow a lawn, you need to specify the size, or we'll be in here arguing 20 years from now, not me, but somebody else, about what that meant. Let me get to some of them. Oh, one other question. The drains, were those drains permitted with the original house, or are they unpermitted?
As the applicant indicated, I think those were installed by the city, not in connection with the residential development.
It's something we need to look at to find out whether those were permitted or not. Let me get to some of the major issues here and why this isn't a settlement, and I don't understand it, and I can't find anything in it that really the public gains in any way. First of all, 80 years, that's unheard of. That's in effect not having an easement. This was permitted. The original permit was in 1979 to 2080. That's a loss of public access for 101 years. By 2080, with global warming and sea level rise, will there be anything left if we do get the easement? I seriously doubt it. So in essence, we have no public access easement being provided at this location. The time and the amount of years is just effectively saying cede the public access easement. And if there were, and I wasn't there and I haven't read the original basis for getting the public easement to be granted, but one of the basis, as I understand it, was prescriptive rights. If those prescriptive rights possibly existed then, those prescriptive rights exist now. And I realize that that's a task, but that's a task maybe somebody ought to be undertaking to get those prescriptive rights determined. In addition to the length of time, that is totally unacceptable. And I don't. This is the one case where I have to say that Mr. Massara's hyperbole is not hyperbole. It's correct. The other supposed benefits of this, public benefits of this, are, to my, from my perspective, illusionary. We're going to get $200,000 towards the replacement of the Angels Flights stairway, and we're told, look what we're going to get. We're going to get another set of stairs. But in the staff report, it talks about the fact that the estimated cost of that stairway is $1.7 million. How does $200,000 get us a stairway? The city of San Diego is not going to come up with the additional $1.5 million. It's illusionary. We're not getting this other set of stairs. even the viewing area. It's $50,000, probably could construct it. But in the staff report, it says that if the city of San Diego doesn't permit it, these funds will revert to the La Jolla Conservancy. If you're going to do this, you should at least make sure that it's the State Coastal Conservancy that is dealing with this, because they don't need to have the city of San Diego issue the permit. If rather than La Jolla Conservancy, if these funds go to the Coastal Conservancy, the Coastal Conservancy, if it gets turned down by the city of San Diego, can come directly to this commission to get approval. So the presumed benefits of the viewing area, if the city of San Diego denies it, we're not going to get a viewing area. The stairways that are presumably replacing public access, $200,000 isn't going to do it. And the length of time is just beyond acceptance, 101 years. Not only won't I be here, but my great-grandchildren won't be here, and there won't be any beach.
Other commissioners?
Well, I basically agree with Commissioner Juan. I think that the 80-year time frame on the effectiveness of the easement is not something I can support. I acknowledge that Mr. Kredowitz inherited this problem to the extent that several property owners before him failed to do things, and there is some things that coastal staff or maybe the AG's office failed to do. But nonetheless, I think that the easement should accrue to the people well before 80 years. That's the part I can't go with, so I'm going to go with the staff recommendation.
I'd like to
clarify that. Yeah. The staff recommendation includes the 80 years. I'm not able to go that way.
Okay. Commissioner Blank.
Okay. I also agree with Commissioner Juan and Commissioner Secord. I just think the 80 years is just an incredibly bad precedent. And in addition, I'd just like to add Commissioner Juan's point about putting a price of $200,000 on giving up access when, in fact, staff itself has said we'll be losing $1.5 million to the people of California. I'm not quite sure what the logic of that is. Just the $1.7 million versus the $200,000 we recoup. So I can't support the staff report as is either.
Commissioner Schallenberg and then Commissioner Burke.
Yeah, I'd like to ask the applicant if he would come to the mic. I have a question for him, and that is, I'm hearing and feeling a consensus with the commission that there are two things in this amendment that people are unhappy with, and one is the amount of money here, which clearly, if the accessway is going to cost $1.7 million, so my question to you is, would you agree to an amendment to this to change it from $200,000 to $1.7 million so that it actually covers the cost of the accessway?
Well, today's the first day I've ever heard that the stairway would cost $1.7 million. I'm not sure where that number came from, but I can't commit to funding $1.7 million,
no. Then the other question is,
I'm presently funding $250,000. Because when you look at the observation park at $50,000 and then $200,000 towards the staircase, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you're also, I mean, I'm hearing from my fellow commissioners that is an insufficient amount of money because it doesn't actually provide any access. And so then my next question is the other thing I am hearing, and I agree with my commissioners, that 80 years before we get accessway is completely unacceptable. And so my question to you, I do recognize that that this had not been tied to the title, and nonetheless, our responsibility is to the Coastal Act and the people of California that they get access to the beach. So my question to you is, would you be willing to change that 80 years to a 5-year, which would give you enough time to actually plan and construct an access way along the existing trail. So would you be prepared to accept an amendment if we were to make it for 5 years instead of 80?
I've been working for 8 years to try to just get a patio and a barbecue. We've been working 2 long, hard years just to get before you today.
Is this a yes or no?
5 years is a blink of the eye. I as much as I want to cooperate, as much as I want to work with you, I just can't agree to that.
Okay. Thank you. Well, given that, I am also not prepared to support the staff recommendation.
I hope we understand the view corridor we were talking about. The LCP outlined...
My issue wasn't the view corridor. It was both the money and the amount of time.
Thank you, Mr. Kretowicz. Yeah.
I just want to just point out for the record that the surprise of about $1.7 million, it is in the staff report on page 19, and it says, quote, based on the city's very preliminary review, it's estimated the stairway reconstruction could cost close to $1.7 million and then would also need to be maintained. The applicant's proposal would contribute $200,000 towards the project, of which $50,000 is to be set aside for future maintenance.
Yeah. Commissioner Burke, I'm sorry, sir.
Commissioner Schallenberger went exactly where I was going. I was going to see if he would.
I'm glad you guys are always in agreement. So.
Yes, we always are in agreement. Maybe not words, but in spirit.
Thank you. Thank you. Let me just add something that the commissioners have touched on and not to keep getting it. I guess the real concern for me is that the 2080 is like a de facto seeding up the easement. I mean, even in leasehold interest and property, you get 55 years maximum. It's the same as fee simple ownership. But if you have an easement, not to start it for 80 years, it would be a, that's, in my opinion, ludicrous. And so that for me is just a really big non-starter. And as far as the cost of the stairway, it could be $1.7 million, it could be more, it could be a little bit less. But, you know, the $200,000 that is... $200,000 that's going to the conservancy, $150,000 of that is going to be used for feasibility investigation, not even building the stairway the way it's set aside right now, and $50,000 to put in an interest-bearing account to derive the interest off that for the for maintaining the stairway. Well, so there's a lot of the money just isn't, unfortunately, in this situation is far from adequate to remedy the situation. And we just, you know, in this place or anywhere along any of these, we just can't seed up these easements. And I just, at this time, I could not support something that went out to 2080. Of course, I'll be long gone, but it is going to look terrible to all of us and to everyone else. And I know most of you commissioners have already touched on it, but this would be one of the most bizarre ones we've done the 8 years I've been here, if we approved a 2080 start of the easement. So I cannot support that part of it. Other commissioners? Commissioner Wan.
Let me just ask the applicant a question, if you would come up. Mr. Kretowicz. I think you're hearing very strongly from this commission that there's no way we're going to accept an 80-year term on this. We might be able to talk about some of the other terms, but the 80 years is a non-starter for any of us. Is there a more reasonable term, provided we get some meaningful actual stairs put in at Angel's Flight? Is there another term other than 80 years that you would be willing to agree to?
It would be difficult for me to discuss a shorter term without understanding what else is tied to that. I mean, if I were to step before you and say, okay, let's pick a term of X, and then all of a sudden there are all kinds of other conditions, then I've really put myself in a box. I mean, I need to understand what the total concept would be.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
That's okay. That's... Thank you, Mr. Kretowicz. Commissioner Secor.
Just a question. If we, let's see, they're asking for a yes vote on the staff report, the probability is we will support a no finding. What's the next step? Assuming that a motion is to approve this project is no vote is requested, what does staff do then?
It's really up to the applicant at that point whether or not that he accepts the commission's action. And perhaps Jamie wants to respond in terms of the litigation, but my understanding is that he has 20 days to reject the commission's action.
Okay. Ms. Patterson?
Yes. If the commission were to approve but with different conditions, Mr. Kretowicz would have 20 days to accept those different conditions. If otherwise, the litigation will resume and the stipulation that we entered into will be of no force and effect. If the commission denies the permit amendment, then the stipulation will be of no force and effect and we'll be back in litigation. And your staff will need to deal with the other outstanding enforcement matters as a separate matter.
Okay, then, Mr. Chair, I'll move that the commission approve the proposed amendment to CDP A-13379/F6760 pursuant to the staff recommendation, recommend a no vote.
It's been moved by Commissioner Secord, seconded by Commissioner Gonzalez. They're asking the maker and the seconder for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the approval of the amendment as passage of this motion will result in the denial of the amendment as condition and adoption of the findings that we discussed today here.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
My understanding is that we don't want to pass it. A yes would give us a passage, and the recommendation was a no vote. So
That was the request of the maker of the motion and probably the seconder.
Okay.
Yes.
And to the extent that we've taken that action, if there is, in fact, a no vote, is it the prerogative of the commission to convene in closed session with council to discuss what might be an affirmative action that we could take?
At this point, the commission has the option of, if there is any desire to the motion on the table is to approve the permit. The mover is recommending a no vote, but the commission has the option, if it would like, to make amending motions to change any of the conditions that then might result in someone wanting to approve something instead.
But my question to you was, do we have the prerogative to meet in closed session to have discussion since we are in litigation with the applicant rather than to sort of just start attempting to reconstruct what has obviously been an extensive negotiation here in public?
We can certainly go into closed session if the commission has questions about the impacts to litigation at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Kinsey. Commissioner Schallenberger.
I'd like to move an amendment to the current motion.
Okay.
I'd like to amend the staff recommendation to increase the money to be paid for the accessway from $200,000 to $1.5 million, and to reduce the number of years before the accessway would be open from 80 years to 7. 80 years to 7.
Okay. Is there a second to that amending motion?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Juan.
Question, Mr. Chair, on the motion.
Yes, Commissioner Akasha.
The purpose of going down to 7, not 8 or 5, and or if the cost estimate is at 1.7, why do 1.5?
No, clarification. My motion was to go to 1.7, but 7 years to open it. And my reason is that the project proponent has already told us that he won't accept 1.7 and 5 years. So I've changed my proposal than my amendment to 1.7 and 7 years.
And I was wondering if the number of the years is based on what it takes to go through the process. Why don't we limit the number of the years to the years of the process it might take? That staff might help us on that. That way we know where we're coming from rather than maybe pick up a number of years from the air.
Could you ask? Who's?
Maybe I should ask the staff, Mr. Chair, if I may, if the applicant was to go through the process to build the stairs, how many years are we looking for? To go through the permitting process, if it's via the city or us, or both?
I can make an estimate. We do have an idea of the easement and the location, so I would think that within 7 years the permit processing could be achieved.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so we have an amending motion. Would anybody else like to speak to the amending motion, Commissioner Secor?
Well, it seems to me like the cleanest way to do this is to look at that motion and simply deny it. And then we're back to a kind of a clean slate where we could get creative. Now, if you want to slice and dice the project as a part of an amending motion, that's another matter. But there's a lot of elements, there's a lot of handles on this project that are not the same, that are, I mean, the two we're kind of concerned about are the duration, the time that the easement kicks in, which was, according to the staff report, 80 years, and the contribution as to the stairs. But there's a lot of other stuff about the size of the easement and the barbecue and that sort of thing that need to be done. And it's my opinion that a denial would be better, and then the staff can go back with a firm list of what these items are.
If you deny it, Commissioner Secor, then it really isn't before us anymore, is it?
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
This is the time, if you want to
give direction to
give
staff.
Direction yeah. to, on this motion and address it, because we have an amending motion on the floor. Otherwise, if the maker and seconder of the main motion recommend a no vote and that is passed, then there'll be a complete denial and it won't be before us for you to continue to discuss it. So the amending motion's here. And Commissioner Gonzalez.
I'm comfortable with the amending motion. And so I guess then I would not be, I don't know, procedurally recommending then a no vote, correct? It would be recommending a yes vote on the amendment.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah. Yes, the maker and the seconder of the amending motion are recommending a yes vote.
Mr. Chair, for clarification, and Ms. Schallenberger, we're talking about $1.7 million and 7 years, correct? Thank you.
Yes. Just a minute.
Call for the question.
Okay, then, Clerk, would you, again, the maker and seconder of the amending motion are asking for a yes vote, and that amending motion will take the time period from 80 years to 7 years, and the amount of money from 200,000 or 250 to 1.7 million. Is that correct? Okay, with that, and we're asking for a yes vote on the amending motion. Yes.
One thing I should point out, and I don't want to undermine the amending motion that I seconded, but there is a third option that the commissioner should be aware of, and that is to deny this outright and then go back into closed session and give directions to staff about what it would accept in terms of a settlement. So we can give directions to staff in terms of a settlement if that's what we want to do. And I see Jamie's sort of sitting there trying to think about what to say to us.
One thing I just wanted to clarify, and that is that Mr. Kredowitz's intent was to provide the money to provide the stairway at Angel's Flight Devil's Slide in lieu of access over his property, as opposed to access over his property and payment of a large amount of money. So I'm curious whether it might not be preferable to split the motion into two But I just throw that out for your consideration.
Okay. Anyone else want to add to that? I think it might be, in light of that, the discussion here, it might be good to separate, and if it's okay with the maker and seconder of the amending motion, maybe you could withdraw your amendment. And withdraw the and make each one separately, if you would. Is that the preference?
Yes, that's fine. Or you can just separate the question and take a vote on one, and then take a vote on the other.
We can do that. We can do that. We can. Chair, is that okay with? Yes.
Perhaps I misstated it. I'm always thinking more along the lines of that the applicant would have the choice of either opening the access within 7 years or provide, but that doesn't work either. Never mind.
That doesn't work. I don't think that works. Yes. Mayor, go ahead. Commissioner Kinsey.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this does speak to my interest in having the commission resume closed session. There are many issues, many factors. It's obvious to me that this commission is not comfortable with the proposal in front of us. But what we also have is we have litigation that we're trying to work within. I believe that we would benefit from either removing the amending motion and adjourning into closed session, or just adjourning into closed session before taking any action. But I believe that to get a clear sense of what we believe would be fair to the applicant, but consistent with the Coastal Act responsibilities that we have, that we need to have some discussion under a closed session.
Commissioner Kinsey, I agree with you. I think we leave the amending motions and we just adjourn to our closed session so we get the input. And I do agree with you on that.
Good idea.
So that's what we'll do. No. We're going to adjourn. We're going to have to ask the public to leave for a few minutes, and then we'll...
your call. Jamie.
Maybe we act on amending not the main. That's why I told her to clarify with Jamie. That's what she said. Thank you.
Are they ready?
Okay. Yes. Are we on? Hello? No, we're not on yet. Hello? Hello? Am I on? No, now I am. Okay, with that, we'll start again, and we'll report on the closed session. We'll go to our general counsel.
Yes, to the chair. The commission met in closed session to discuss and receive the advice of legal counsel regarding Credowitz versus California Coastal Commission and took no action. That concludes my report.
Thank you very much. And with that, I'll come back to the commission and Commissioner Schallenberger.
Yes, I'd like to clarify the amending motion that I put on the table. And it should be that that the project proponent, that I would be amending the current staff recommendation so that the project proponent could either cover the full cost of permitting and constructing the stairs at Angel's Flight, or immediately open and construct access, the existing access easement on his property.
No construction needed there.
Well, there's is there any kind of time deadline on the construction?
Yeah. Any time? Oh.
No, what's the question?
Okay.
Through the chair, just to clarify, so the second alternative would be to both open the easements and to construct improvements, or simply
No, whatever improvements are needed on the existing easement, to open it immediately. So the choice is either the full cost of permitting and constructing the stairway access at Angel's Flight, or immediately opening the accessway on the project proponent's property.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Wan.
I had a couple of things. First of all, I need to clarify what the staff's current recommendations are so that we know what this amendment means in relationship to the overall permit. Is this a permit amendment? And the other thing is, I'm going to express something that I also thought about, because one of the commissioners I heard say, and how much time does he have to get those stairs at Angel's Flight actually built? So we need to put in, Commissioner Schallenberger, something to make sure that that happens in a reasonable period of time, and that if, again, the city of San Diego doesn't permit it, that this is going to be done through in some way in conjunction with the Coastal Conservancy, so that we could, that the permitting won't be an impediment to getting those stairs actually built. Because I think that's the intent, right?
Well, my response to that, the first point is that we're not asking the project proponent to construct them, merely to put the money up for full cost. So I don't know that we can do a timeline on it.
Okay.
In terms of the permitting, if they're not permitted, that's a good question. What happens then?
Well, if he's putting the money up to do it, then that money could go to the Coastal Conservancy and they could do it. So, you know, I don't think that's the problem. I didn't know that he was being asked to provide the money. I thought he was being, all right.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody else wants to clarify this.
Commissioner Secord, do you have
I wondered about the possibility of having the applicant or asking the applicant to open the easement and to keep it open until the stairs are constructed.
My motion stands. It's one or the other.
Yeah, let's. Okay. Is there, and yes, Ms. Patterson, before I.
Through the chair, thank you. Just to clarify, if it turns out that there are permitting issues or other matters that really do prevent the construction of the stairs, given that the motion is to provide the full cost of the stairway, we wouldn't have a number to identify that goes to the Conservancy. So perhaps in the alternative, you know, just require that the matter be brought back to the commission if they choose the stairway option and that doesn't play out.
And just one more clarification. the alternative about the accessway on his property, the original condition was that he record an offer to dedicate an easement, and that would be the other option, that he would immediately record the offer to dedicate, or in the alternative, can pay for the construction of Angel's Flight, Devil's Slide.
Thank you.
That's acceptable to the maker, to you, Commissioner Schellenberg, with that clarification. How about the seconder of the motion?
Yes, that's fine.
Is that fine with you also? Okay. Okay, any more discussion? If not, clerk, they're asking for a yes vote on the amendment.
Would you like, Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if we were going to provide the opportunity for the applicant to consider this. Were we going to take this action at this time?
I think my suggestion would be that since we're dealing with the amendment, to do that, and then when we get to the main motion, we can do it that way, if that would be okay with
that
my colleagues.
That would be
fine. Okay, is that
thank
fine?
You. Thanks for the clarification.
And yes, Deputy Director Sarb.
That's fine. You're going to vote on the main motion at this point?
No, on the amending motion. We're voting on the amending motion at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Any other clarifications? If not, the clerk call the roll. They're asking for a yes vote on the amending motion.
Commissioner Blank?
Yes.
Commissioner Berg?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowenthal? Commissioner Gonzalez?
Yes.
Commissioner Secord?
Yes.
Commissioner Neely?
Yes.
Commissioner Kinsey?
Yes.
Commissioner Schellenberger?
Yes.
Commissioner Wan?
Yes.
Commissioner Ashajian?
Yes.
Chairman Kruer?
Yes.
Unanimous.
Okay, the amending motion passes. And, you know, to be fair to everyone, I think I'd like to ask Mr. Kretowicz, if Mr. Kretowicz, would you be interested, before we take on the main motion and that discussion, would you be interested in, we'd like to be very fair and give you time to understand all this, et cetera. Would you be interested in a continuance? Would you come up and...
Or does he want to vote now?
Or do you want us to go ahead and vote now?
I would say at the very least that what I've been hit with is a bit overwhelming, and I'm not sure that I totally understand what the motion or the amendment even is. I'm not sure if it says build a staircase and then there's never the easement on my property, or build the staircase. And I mean, I'm not quite sure what the ramifications of all that is. So I would love the opportunity to, I could just get some clarification, I'd be in a much better position to say, yes, I would like a continuance or no. Okay. So is it possible just for you to take a short break and have somebody just sit down and explain
can tell you right now, Ms. Patterson, or our general counsel can... Ms. Patterson, why don't you go through and explain to Mr. Kretowicz the option here on the amendment so he understands it clearly.
Yes, the commission's amendment would allow you to either pay for the full cost of permitting and construction of the stairway at Angel's Flight, Devil's Slide, and that would eliminate then the offer to dedicate on your property. There would be no access easement across your property. Or in the alternative, if you choose not to pay for it, then to immediately record an offer to dedicate public access across your property, but that would not require the construction of any improvements on your property. And this only changes the one of the question is whether it should be open. My understanding is it would be a record an offer to dedicate, which would then have to be accepted by a public agency before it could be opened. And then the remaining staff recommendation would remain in effect, including the improvements of the public viewing platform across the street from your house. Did that make sense?
So I'd still be asked to do the cost of the staircase and the cost of the public viewing area?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the little triangular portion of the property.
But then the reverse is if I
well,
did that.
No, Mr. Kretowicz, maybe it is, it's up to you, and again, to be fair, maybe it is in your interest to ask for a continuance so that you can really clarify and understand all this and decide what, you know, what you can do. But if you want not to do that, I think the whole commission would like to afford that opportunity to you.
I could probably make a decision if I had 10 minutes of the Attorney General's time just to, because.
Why don't we tell it till tomorrow?
Yeah.
Or even Thursday meeting.
We have a very full schedule tomorrow. We couldn't trail anything. So we're happy to afford you a continuance. And, you know, you just have to let us know if you'd like to do that.
Then I have to ask for a continuance. I hate to take up your time and yet another commission hearing, and I was hoping if I had just the opportunity to just ask a couple of questions for clarification.
Sure.
Why don't we
let you talk to the staff for 5 minutes, and we'll finish some of the. Can we go ahead and move on to some public comment on something else, and then come back to it? Can we keep that open?
Yeah.
I'm just asking for clarification. Okay, right. Mr. Kretowicz, please do that. Meet with them and. Then you can come back and tell us, or staff will tell us if you want a continuance.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. We'll go through the public comment. Monica Hunter. How much time are you requesting, ma'am?
3 minutes.
3 minutes?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Commissioners and Chairman Kerr. My name is Monica Hunter, and I'm with the Planning and Conservation League Foundation. I'm currently the Program Manager for the Central Coast Watersheds Project. For the record, I am also a board member of the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. My current work with PCLF is directed at supporting implementation of the state's Marine Life Protection Act, as well as the Ocean Protection Council's 5-year strategy entitled A Vision for Ocean and Coast. As I am sure most of you are aware, the MLPA pilot program for the Central Coast established 29 new MPAs that go into effect in August 2007. These areas represent a diverse range of intertidal and nearshore habitats selected for their potential for restoring and protecting marine species. PCLF's Central Coast Watersheds Project will support efforts to continue to improve healthy coastal watersheds, identifying key land use issues with potential water quality impacts for the new MLPA program, including stormwater and wastewater discharge, ocean-cooled power plants, and ocean desalination, all of which have been identified as issues of concern in the MLPA master plan developed by the Department of Fish and Game. Since you are holding your meetings this week in San Luis Obispo County, I want to call your attention to the State Marine Reserve at Morro Bay, which I understand you are likely going to be touring on Thursday evening. While this is one of several enclosed bays now included in the MLPA program, this area stands alone among the 29 for its estuarine habitat, and specifically is the only state marine reserve that encompasses a significant stand of eelgrass and, of course, is known for its remarkable birding areas. I urge staff to build on the efforts of the OPC and Department of Fish and Game in protecting these unique benefits for the state when considering future landside uses that may impact the state marine reserve, including the potential siting of a wastewater treatment facility for the Los Osos project, which will be addressed by the county in a new environmental impact report and environmental impact statement for their project. With regard to ocean desalination, PCLF supports the Commission's recent decision prohibiting the use of open ocean systems similar to those currently used by power plants that rely on once-through-cooling design. With approximately 20 ocean desalination projects in development in the state, PCLF is also working to support best management practices based on beach well or submerged systems as the least harmful method for these areas where there is no other water supply solution. In the Monterey Bay region, the Ocean View Plaza desalination project, while small in size, is planned for installation within the new Edward F. Ricketts State Marine Conservation Area and therefore presents potential impacts to sea life within a designated marine protected area. Thank you for your efforts to protect our coastal resources. The Planning and Conservation League Foundation welcomes the opportunity to work collaboratively with the Coastal Commission, with Commission staff, and with our sister organizations, as well as public agencies toward achieving our common goals to improve coastal resource policy. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Joy Riccano. Three minutes, sir.
Yes, sir. Chairman Kruer, commissioners, friends, Joey Riccano, Ocean Outfall Group. I have a couple of slides for you and gave a packet. Here you see the new State Marine Reserve in Morro Bay East Estuary. This was created by the Fish and Game Commission in the MLPA initiative process as a result of cooperation, unprecedented cooperation, I might add, by 30 environmental groups and a local sportsman's group. And we came to an understanding, a compromise, and what we did was we petitioned Fish and Game together. And we received this SMR, which is the highest level of protection afforded under the MLPA process. Next. Now, as you can see, if you bring that down a tiny bit, Morro Bay Estuary, according to a recent first ever EPA study of national estuaries, turns out to be a gem for several reasons, and not the least of which is our eelgrass beds, and it's very biodiverse. So there are 29 SMRs on the Central Coast so far, and of them, only two are estuaries, but the other estuary, which is the Elkhorn Slough, has a lot of problems, like with pesticides, et cetera, and not as much biodiversity. So Morro Bay Estuary winds up being not only a subset, but the best of a subset. Next, please. And well worth protecting. And as you can see, these are the longitude and latitudes of the SMR, but you see permitted and prohibited is the prohibited is the take of all living marine resources. Next slide, please. And what you see here is the configuration of the estuary. And so as water comes in and 17 to 33% of the larvae are destroyed by the once through cooling at a power plant, during incoming tides, that state marine reserve is unlawfully, after August, deprived of between 17 to 33% of its living marine organisms. Next slide, please. Oh, wait, hold on. Now, I wanted to just make sure. You see down at the lower right, the proposed gravity system for Tri-W and Los Osos would be a threat to this marine reserve, and the reason why is because as a gravity system, they are designed to leak after 5 years. And so with a life of about 50 years, during storm events, there is almost a certainty that you would have raw sewage run into the estuary and have a short distance to travel before it went to that state marine reserve, where surely it would violate the SMR. Now, I just wanted to show you that this is what we have in our toolbox, and I hope to see a State Marine Reserve designation for the harbor seals in La Jolla at Casa Beach. And I thank you for this opportunity to address you today.
Thank you, Mr. Riccano. Chuck Sassinas?
Thank you, Chairman Kruer and fellow commissioners. My name is Chuck Sassinia. I am currently serving as the president of the Los Osos Community Services District, and I have two brief items I wanted to share with you today. The first would be some a conversation I had at lunch with Dr. George Chavanoglis maybe a month or so ago. If you don't know Dr. Chavanoglis, he is a world-renowned wastewater treatment expert. I have engineering colleagues who have signed textbooks by this gentleman. He is that well-regarded. We happened to chance meeting for lunch one day, and He's very familiar with the Los Osos situation in that he reviewed the project report that our board had prepared prior to the county's assumption of sewer responsibilities under AB 2701, and he has reviewed the county's efforts up to this point. He left me with two thoughts. A treatment plant site belonged east of town to make water reuse easier with the agricultural interests east of town. Also, in areas with high groundwater, particularly salt water along the edge of the bay, you need a pressurized collection system with HPDE pipe. That's a high-density polyethylene pipe where the connections are fused. They're welded together. There's no bell and housing, no gaskets to leak. The other thing that does is prevent salt water from entering your system, which wreaks havoc with your treatment plant and with water reuse potential later on. The other thing I would like to urge you is that you please follow the county project development process very closely. We know what happened last time around when our previous board orchestrated a project evaluation process that was prejudiced from the beginning and resulted in comments by coastal commissioners such as, I believe it was Mr. Potter's, this looks bait and switchy, and the comment, if we knew then what we know now, Tri-W would never have been approved. A new EIR, EIS is needed, and it must consider the new state marine reserve regulations. These could affect the county's evaluation of the Tri-W location for a treatment plant site. Now is the time to start watching this process because the county's fine screening report will develop the alternatives that are before the community this fall when we go through the assessment vote. We want a successful assessment vote. We want a project. But many in the community are concerned if the Tri-W project is still on the table at the time that vote is taken, and they will not vote for the assessment. I think in light of the new regulations regarding state marine reserves, we need to start thinking about whether prior alternatives should be taken off the table. And I thank you for your time and the wonderful job you're doing to protect our coast.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Mary Fullwood. And after that, Mark Massara.
Chairman, commissioners, hello. I am Dr. Mary Fullwood, a resident of Los Osos and the Los Osos Blue Water Task Force representative for the San Luis Bay chapter of Surf Rider. I am here today to give you a copy of the chapter's statement of key environmental issues for the Los Osos Wastewater Treatment Project, a working document. Furthermore, I am here because our national Morro Bay estuary has been newly designated a state marine reserve effective next month. This coincides with the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors' final say come the fall on sewer project selection if the 218 passes. Yet, Tri-W is still on the table and jeopardizing the process. It risks the success of the SMR and the success of the 218 vote loading to a successful county project. I'm very concerned because Tri-W still on the table threatens the passing of the 218 and thus the speed with which Los Osos can build a sewer. It is my hope that you will direct staff to determine what impacts there would be on the bay if a sewer plant is located directly uphill from the SMR and to consider how the new SMR should be preserved by extension, how your staff will engage with the Ocean Protection Council on this issue. In a presentation to the Water Board July 6, 2007, Paavo Ogren, the Los Osos Wastewater Project Director, stated, when a plant goes upside down, and they all do at some point, which sites have the best facilities for containment of a potential spill? I cannot imagine Tri-W being the site, and I would like to see that we never have a plant built that harms the SMR. Additionally, as stated in the California Department of Fish and Game's Master Plan for Marine Protection Areas, dated April 13, 2007, within this new designation, quote, take is not limited to fishing activities. The high level of protection created by an SMR is based on the assumption that no other appreciable level of take or alteration of the ecosystem is allowed, e.g. sewer discharge. Supervisor Gibson and Project Director Ogren gave a wonderful 15-minute overview of the county's sewer project process and development to the Water Board last week, and I urge you to consider their presentation as an agenda item at your August
8-10-2007 meeting in San Francisco. It is timely, as their presentation could further discussions prior to our 218 vote, and this would have great benefit. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mark Massara and Alon Perlman.
Honorable Chair, Commissioners Mark Massara, Sierra Club Coastal Program. Two items related to public beach access in La Jolla. First, with respect to this Credowitz settlement, we object to not being able to comment on this and would request that you recognize us at least briefly as these negotiations continue on items that weren't part of the public hearing. And I'll leave it at that unless you'll recognize me now and I can make 30 seconds of comments. Second, in a very similar situation, the La Jolla Beach and Tennis Club is currently negotiating with the Attorney General and your staff on a lawsuit that they initiated following your hearings and protection of public beach access at La Jolla Shores, wherein you required a very simple sign that said public beach access is permitted. Now, the La Jolla Beach and Tennis Club, which didn't even bother to show up at the hearing, then brought a lawsuit and is now negotiating to change the wording on the sign, to add new maps and other fortifications and security guards and all the rest of it that go in toward intimidating the public and encouraging them not to use this beach. And we just want to say ahead of time so that we don't get into these hearings later where unacceptable settlement proposals are brought back that rewrite the permits that you've already approved, that we don't accept that. And we want the simple language and the simple sign that you mandated last year. And I'd like to be able to comment on the Credowitz proposal as well.
If you want to do that now,
30 seconds. I just want to point out that the real estate values on this street, Princess Street, these homes are all well in excess of $10 million in value. If you allow the homeowner to buy an access way a long ways away at another beach for $1.7 million, and the result is that that homeowner then gets their own private access way and private beach, their home will be increased in value much, much more than the $1.7 million. If I had owned this home and you had made this proposal to me, I would have accepted it in a heartbeat because it's such a windfall for the applicant. Thank you.
Thank you. Richard Dunn, Lon Perlman first. Not here. Richard Dunn.
Yeah, my name is Richard Dunn. I'm a tract owner in Cayucas. I own acres there. I've lived there for 50 years. And I have a comment on the development along the coast north of Cayucas. It stretches for about 3 miles. And then it ends abruptly at Via Creek. I would like you to consider a brand new seaport at Via Creek, a new harbor for small craft. This would not be a great strain on the public financing. I believe that private financing would be available, if not federal government. This small port for small craft would require a jetty out maybe a quarter of a mile and then a dogleg to the east to protect the harbor. The harbor at Via Creek would be a small harbor, about 100 acres. It could be dredged, and then the small village around this harbor would consist of perhaps 2,000 or 3,000 people operating shops concerned with seacoast and opportunities to fish and the general sailing boat that cruise in that area. I don't think that Highway 1 would have to be changed in its location just to use the land that's available to make an ideal harbor. It's been suggested before. I know I wrote a letter to the editor a couple of years ago, which was, of course, ignored. But I think with your interest in it, if you would underwrite a small feasibility study of this. I don't think it would cost anything for the myriad landscape and architects to, especially on the East Coast, to come flocking out to see what they could do to have a whole new harbor and a village on this West Coast. Do you have any questions?
No, sir. Thank you for your testimony. Sir. Gordon Hensley?
Good morning, commissioners. I think it's still morning. I'm not sure. Welcome to San Luis Obispo. Gordon Hensley, San Luis Obispo Coast Keeper. I just wanted to give you an update on tonight's party. It's still happening, and I brought for you maps of restaurants that you can walk to following the party for dinner. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for inviting us all to the party.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Perlman. 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Alon Perlman. I'm from Morro Bay. Right here is the California and the World Ocean 97, that's 10 years ago. And it has a lot of good information in it. In fact, it's had a lot of great ideas. It has ideas about, it does in the last article in it, in fact, it says public participation in bay water quality issues. It has a lot about information, a lot of details, and it suggests that the only realistic way to expect residences, business owners, and all waterfront activities to agree that the state and national estuary management programs are designed to assist in ongoing efforts to maintain and enhance water quality in Morro Bay is by inclusion. And you are an agency that has been given a mandate by the governor to restore the fisheries. And you have a partner in this, and that partner is the State Water Board. And that's a weak link in the chain. And I'm appealing to you to take every opportunity that you have to take control of the various messes that the Water Board has set up in Los Osos. For example, and to prove this to you, I'm going to have to first prove to you that the Water Board, the Regional Water Board, the State Water Board, they do not use science in their deliberations. And until they do, you will never get measurable improvements. So my example is going to do with the Morro Bay outflow. A staff, that presenter for the, during the time that there was a discussion of the extension of the waiver for the secondary treatment from Morro Bay into the ocean, the staff showed a bunch of very nice colored diagram to the Water Board and made the following statements. They stated that these graphs show the dissipation of salinity within 20 feet of the mouth of the pipe, and therefore we come to the conclusion that pollution doesn't reach the shore. Now, I don't know if how many of you members are laypersons, but salinity is not a measure of pollution of secondary treated water. So this is the stat of the Water Board completely misunderstanding salinity is just the amount of salt in the flow. This is extremely bad science. There are plenty of other examples, and in a future date, since my time is up, I will attempt to convince you that a lot of the hyperbole about the failing septic systems in Los Osos will actually create more pollution if a poor system is installed. Hopefully, the process will be helped. And I think you need to remind me that I'm over my time. But hopefully you can engage yourself back into Los Osos because the Water Board have essentially painted themselves into a corner that is in a box. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. And that's the end of our public speakers. And so that, I'll go back on 11A to staff and call on first Ms. Patterson. Do you want to?
Actually, I think if you would like to have Ms. Sarb clarify what the staff recommendation is at this point, and then
yes.
I can report what I've conferred with Mr. Kredowitz about.
Thank you. We'll do it that way. Thank you, Ms. Sarb.
And the motion before you includes the amending motion at this point. Has that been?
That's been passed.
Okay, and so. The staff recommendation would be consistent with what's in the staff report with several changes. The amending motion allowed for the option of either the applicant paying full cost of construction of the Angels Flight stairway or recording the offer to dedicate the vertical access easement on the property. We would like to just assure that the conditions clarify that there would be no limitation on when that offer to dedicate could be accepted if that's the option that's taken. And in terms of the construction of the stairway, conditions number 9 and 15 would have to be modified to incorporate the either or options and make it clear that the applicant would take the steps necessary to construct the Angels Flight stairway and pay the $1.7 million. The terms of how that's achieved could be established through an MOU with the commission subject to the executive director approval. And we would also like to have some limit that if the permitting hasn't occurred within a 5-year period, that the item be brought back to the commission to review the status of that. And other minor changes to condition number 3 with regard to the landscape and yard area and fence plans. The phrase and condition 3B that refers to a lawn area is allowed as a small component. Staff would strike that. The applicant is not interested in having a lawn, so it's a moot point. I would go ahead and make the change to condition 3C that would allow for an exception to the irrigation system in the front yard, subject to the executive director approval of the plans. And in special condition number 11, I would change the that the remaining funds should go to the Coastal Conservancy rather than the La Jolla Conservancy in the event that the viewing area platform is not permitted.
Commissioner Wan, a question.
Wasn't it permit and construct, not just construct?
The Angels Flight stairway? Yes, he would have to complete construction of the Angels Flight stairway, which would involve permitting. It's just that at this point it's open-ended, so we'd like to put a time period on that.
Commissioner Kinsey?
Yeah, just a clarification. I think that our intent was to say that it would be the cost of permitting and construction, and you used the amount $1.7 million, and I don't think we wanted to be specific to the amount.
And this leads to my discussions with Mr. Kredowitz. He would like to have a cap of $1.7 million. If that's the case, he does not want a continuance. If the commission would leave it open-ended, he would like to have a continuance to explore further his options.
Okay. Okay. The pleasure, Commissioner Wan.
I'm going to move to continue.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
Been moved by Commissioner Wan, seconded by Commissioner Kinsey. You like to speak to that, Commissioner?
No. I mean, we didn't put a cap on this. What we're interested in is actually getting these things built, and I don't know what it's going to cost. And I don't want to put that fly in the ointment, so to speak. So if we want to get this thing built, we haven't agreed to a cap. He wants the cap, or he wants a continuance. So that's why I've moved for continuance.
Okay. Is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on the continuance? Hearing none, we unanimously approve the continuance. Okay. See everybody tonight. Don't forget about the party. 6 o'clock. Everybody's. I think it's 6 o'clock, yeah. Hey, Bill.